This week, we again learned that video gamers are more likely to have better decision-making skills and that gaming enhances brain function. Like physically, verbally, and plenty of other forms of working out that you can see, mental exercise exists too. Exercising the ability to take in multiple sources of information and use or react to them when needed is a beneficial trait of human function. This is just one story in tonight's news. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 924 of our show for tonight, July the 31st, 2022. It's not quite August, but almost. Hi, I'm Rob Roberts, and joining me to talk about video games, gaming culture, all that good stuff are my co-hosts. Say hello, first off, to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. I like your shirt, by the way, today that you're wearing as we are taping live at Vogue Network. Yeah, tacos are my favorite emotion. That's great.
Yes.
Perfect.
One of my most comfortable shirts at that. I believe in comfort today.
Can you quickly, since this is a food show in addition to video games, can you quickly describe the perfect taco?
Del Taco chicken soft tacos.
Okay. You know what the perfect taco for me is? The Choco taco. And that's why they got rid of it, because I liked it.
No, they actually put out an official statement about it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was something about like being able to preserve a legacy stock of it or something. I don't know.
That's dumb.
It was on.
Release the Choco tacos.
Let's avoid the ableist terms.
Release the Choco tacos.
But it was some article that I just like half glanced at it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, so you do always have a little video of a game playing behind you, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network. We're right after the Bobby Black Wolf show, except not tonight. Bobby wasn't on tonight. He had the week off due to family obligations. So his 17th birthday episode got to last an extra week on his podcast feed. But we're here tonight and watching Loki having some... Is that stunt driving or hard driving playing behind you? It's one of the Atari racing games.
It's not neither. Well, it's Broderbund, and it's stunts. Is the game.
Oh, okay. So it was okay, but to be fair, that was like their ripoff of
it's better rendered.
Yeah, it was their ripoff of stunt driving. Because you know, just like when a game is popular, like a lot of clones are made of it. That was no different in the late 90s with like stunt driving and how
huge
that game
was. Popular?
Oh yeah. In arcades and stuff. Oh god, yeah. That game was hugely popular.
I had never saw anyone playing it.
Oh yeah.
But then again, we also had one at my arcade when I was actually working there, and it was the nap machine.
Now,
it was dark.
You also have to remember that that game, like, they tried to port that game to the Super Nintendo, and I mean tried.
Yeah.
it
was
Gold Star. You tried energy.
No, I know, but I just never remembered that game getting a lot of play when it was new, when I was going to arcades.
It might have also been one of those things where, like, maybe it was remembered a little bit more for its tech and how it pushed the boundaries than it did maybe its popularity. But I think maybe it was popular just in certain places or circles or what have you. But people love the idea of driving a loop-de-loop. That was the first popular game. I'm sure it wasn't the very first game to drive a loop-de-loop, but it was the first one, you know, that
you had to
it rendered it the way it did.
You had a lot of speed to do it without crashing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and that game was hard. So
this game is hard, too, but it's cool because it has a track editor.
Ah.
And I used to play this as a kid a long time ago, as you could tell by the graphics. One of the fun things to do with that is to put a bunch of 45-degree ramps. I don't remember if it was like a bridge or if there's something that had to do with 45-degree ramps, and you would put a bunch of those in a big old line, and it would basically boost your speed up infinitely. You could go like 1,000 miles an hour or something like that.
Okay, you know what I'm realizing now that I'm seeing more than just the driving parts of the game, than seeing like the UI and the fake profiles of the people and stuff? I had this game on PC like years on my first PC. I had this game for sure. That's funny.
So. Yeah, it was fun. I don't think I ever played the actual racing part. I just like building stunt tracks and
that's so you though. That's so you. You've always loved to mod and build. And that's why, like, even though I know you're kind of like, oh, I did Minecraft again this week, it doesn't really surprise me because that game kind of calls to that crowd who want to build and mod and do all that. That's what Minecraft is. So it doesn't really surprise me. It took you so long.
There it is right there. So there's the jump right there. So it's an open bridge. That was the one that that you put a bunch of them in a row and then it would chain it. And then also they had the pipe.
Yeah,
where
I remember
you had
that
to
pipe.
Like, open the walls. Yep. That was fun.
Yeah. Okay, that's funny. Well, hello as well to our chat, because as I mentioned, we do tape live on Sunday nights at VOG Network on Twitch, and some folks talking about hard driving and stunt driving and that stuff. So Dark Tetsuya says there was a prototype of an NES version of hard driving. Oh, God, unless they remade it as a 2D game, it must have been terrible. Like Rad Racer was what we had as far as like 3D. I mean Rad Racer was kind of cool, and I don't mean the literal 3D thing they were trying with the glasses, but like that, you know, first person type of thing they were doing. Yeah, I don't know, but then I guess if you think about it, like, first person racing games are as old as gaming in many ways, because like Pole Position goes how far back, and that was essentially first person. I mean, it was, you know, over the car, but still those games go way back. SG100 Matt says, I was a fan of it in the arcade. It was hard, but it was neat for its time. And I think that it was the novelty of the bridge hopping and the you know, because remember right around that same time with the bridge hopping, what was the huge movie? Speed, where they actually did that with the bus, or Spice World, where they also did that with the bus. So people, you know, that hopping bridges was huge in the 90s. Don't try this at home. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hopping bridges than jumping sharks.
SG100 Matt reminds me of this other thing about those games, is that I liked the gimmick of that in order to start the game, you had to turn a legit car key. That's right. That was a thing that was on those games. But like, I also remember like Spy Hunter had like all the buttons and the different mechanisms and things. So, you know, kind of having that very immersive sort of setup goes way back with games. So that's awesome. All right. Nice trip down memory lane. Love it. I know we're going to talk about more classic games in just a little bit, because Dark Sakura, I'm sure, has something to say about them. I'm not just talking about her segment, but we'll come back to that. Let's start off tonight with our kickoff topic, which is about TikTok. We couldn't swing the pendulum harder. We've gone from classic games to games on a service that, because I'm over the age of 40, maybe I don't understand as much as other people. I don't know. But then again, I joke, Dark Sakura, you post content on it. I watch it, but I don't know how to find good content. I get linked to good content all the time. I don't really know how to find it. But you actually post content on TikTok, right, Jamie?
I do, and I meant to post some stuff from yesterday, but the internet was kind of crap.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Yeah.
That, and I was too busy playing games and being in pain.
Oh. Well, we'll talk.
Mind is young, body is not.
We'll talk more about that in a minute. But so I think we've had some stories on previous episodes of OLR that talked about that TikTok is trying to get into more gaming. And this isn't the first time that we've seen social media, because we know Facebook has tried to get into gaming. Hell, Google Plus, remember that? That was Google getting into some of that gaming, and, you know, they had their own unique approach to it and so forth. You know, getting games involved in social media is not a new concept. So the fact that TikTok is trying to get into it shouldn't be that surprising, but something with the volume of TikTok and the, because, you know, again, even though we joke that we're all over 40 and we barely use it, the reality is the younger crowd, you know, teens, early 20s, and, you know, kind of all the in-betweens, really use TikTok like a lot. So getting games onto the service is not incredibly surprising. What's a little newer this week is that the testing is getting more broad, and we're actually seeing what some of these games look like. So, in a spokesperson for TikTok in an interview with TechCrunch said, currently, we're exploring bringing HTML5 games to TikTok through integrations with third-party game developers and studios. One of the games that they're testing is from a company called Aim Lab, and the game they're making is called Mr. Aim Lab's Nightmare. Except now here's the thing, and I'll show for those that are watching live on Twitch, I'll show like a little clip of this. So they actually have like a TikTok that they
finally
posted.
Beat this boss in the TikTok game.
This you can actually hear. Sorry, the volume came through a little loud, but let me flip over to the other screen for those that are watching live on Twitch so you can see what this actually looks like here. And it, let me rewind it. It looks like a cheap, honestly, like a cheap little flash game to me. Like, it looks like you're like tapping, and describe me for the podcast folks, you're tapping all these little objects that are flying out at the screen in order to beat some boss. So the quality of the game looks a little bit, I don't know. And again, because I'm watching on the website, it says click below to play, and there actually is no place to actually play. And I notice it's actually posted, this particular video is posted by the creators of the game. But just gives you a little bit of a sense of what, you know, those games look like. So they're not very high quality, but it's short. It's, you know, just like TikTok videos are, short attention span sort of things, right? And it's a start.
Yeah. So AimLab, it's a software game, if you will, to like train your, it's supposed to make you like better FPS games by training your aim, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what they're doing.
Some iOS games up there too, it looks like.
Oh yeah, well, I'm sure it would be pretty easy if something was already built with, you know, mobile devices in mind. It might be pretty easy to port that over to TikTok. So anyway, and that's just one example of a game. You know, and again, we've talked about in the past that TikTok was kind of moving the chess pieces around. ByteDance, parent company, bought Moonton Technology last year. TikTok had a partnership with Zynga for a game called Disco Loco 3D and a charity game I'm unaware of called Garden of Good. That's kind of cute. And I guess that is actually available on US TikTok, the Garden of Good. And then HTML5 games had previously been tested in Vietnam, which is not uncommon for these large mobile developers to test things in maybe one country, one or two countries before they roll it out into the world. Again, this is TikTok getting behind Apple, Google, Netflix, you know, all these other folks that are in the space to move into TikTok gaming. So my question is for the group and for the chat, do you think this is a big deal? Because here's the thing. I feel like these other forays by social media specifically, I think Apple, Google, that's a different category because, you know, I don't think you can compare this to like, I don't know, Apple Arcade or Stadia. It's not the same thing. Those other things I named are not trying to embed themselves within social media. So when I talk about things that are embedding themselves in social media, I think about like Facebook playing the games they're live on Facebook. That never really took off for anybody. I'm not sure this is really going to do that as well, but I'm not sure. What do you all think?
Depends like how they're going to implement this. So like if they just put like, we're putting games on our platform as well, that's kind of boring. Cause like if you're talking about targeting an audience that uses TikTok, most of those users are probably accessing it through their mobile app, and there's so many app stores and things that are inundating them with games that they could really play that doesn't really seem like that's worthwhile. Now, what I see, like a better way to do it, which means it's probably not the way they're going to do it, but let's just say that they could do it in the sense that with TikTok, you can, you know, record video and edit and do like some small stuff with that. But maybe with these games, you can record gameplay and then do commentary and stuff over that, and then you can make little clips with the game as well. That would be a meaningful use of it. This will just be some garbage that they try to shove ads in microtransactions down our throats with. Yes, I know they're not in it yet. Yet is the operative term. So, I don't anticipate that they'll do anything meaningful with it.
Jamie, do you have thoughts?
I think it's going to be a big thing. I mean, yeah, it's a way to maybe even, I think they're going to do it more with ad revenue, you know, built into the games or something like that. But I mean, I think sites are always, like any kind of social media platform, is going to look for increasing engagement. And I think that this is just their attempt. They think they put a fun game up there, whether or not they're going to make money on any kind of revenue or anything with it, it's something that builds engagement. and something that keeps people wanting to go back and oh, I can do this while I'm browsing on here. Fun, you know, that type of thing. And so I think in that respect, I mean, it's a wait and see. We don't really know enough about it anyway, so.
No, but I think you're right. It's like, even if the games are not a super high quality, it's keeping the eyes on TikTok longer. And that's one place that, like, TikTok kind of can pride itself right now. I'm almost positive I saw some type of report that said, I don't know if it was people of a certain age or all people, but that, like, TikTok has more viewing hours right now than YouTube. And that's kind of a big deal. That might only be in one age group. I'm sorry, I don't have the study in front of me. But, you know, the volume of TikTok is very large. And, you know, yeah, to kind of what you're saying, if it's just like, oh, this game's just right on over here, it's still keeping people in that TikTok bubble longer and away from the competitors, for sure.
That's really the goal, you know, with any kind of social media site. They need something that's going to keep a person on their site. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, especially for anything that may have, you know, some sort of ad embedded in it, a lot of us have trained our eyes just to ignore the ad, you know, to sort of narrow down. But it still doesn't mean we're not seeing it and that it's not on the page and being exposed to people.
Right.
So, you know, I have this feeling that it's really just an engagement deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that TikTok needs it, though. I'm going to be perfectly honest. It was just so funny. When I was at the thing yesterday, there were people who were like, oh, yeah, I'm on Instagram and this. And I'm like, aren't you on TikTok? Oh, yeah, that too. I forget about my TikTok. It's what I hear a lot. Then for the people that are on it, they are on it.
Yeah.
And it really, like, I'll be honest, I have a YouTube channel. I think I've posted, like, a couple of things that weren't private. My TikTok, it needs more attention, but I've been putting, like, my you know, stream clips and stuff on there. And I've found a lot more success with that. Plus, it's easy just to make, like, a 3-minute video or a 5-minute video and post it up there, as opposed to putting work into, like, a longer production that would be of an optimal length for YouTube. And now YouTube is doing their shorts thing, which is supposed to, I reckon, be, like, the competitor with TikTok.
Yep.
But TikTok's success comes in with the short attention span of people these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went into studying some of this in my design classes. If you look at, all right, I'll tell you this. Look at an ad for a Mac. Look at what they looked like in the 80s. You had the picture and this entire article written in Adobe Garamond Pro that was like, this, and this, and this, and this, and don't you feel this, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, going to a recipe site. Now it's item, price, thing. And that's what our social media is turning into as well. That's why people, you know, are more on Twitter and more on TikTok. They are smaller, more digestible, and built for the current attention span. And so why not have games on there, especially if they're little clicky-clicky games that require a short attention span and don't require you to become, you know, invested in it or something?
Let me get to some comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Tiger Claw says, none of that would have been possible if it wasn't for Snapchat. They did it first before Facebook, Instagram, and now TikTok and YouTube doing it. Well, let me see.
Fine.
No one here knows Periscope. Better. No one knows better than OLR that just because you're first doesn't mean you're going to be the most popular.
And Snapchat was not the first to do it.
No one knows that better than OLR.
Vine and Periscope existed before Snapchat.
You know, DJ Rama S brings up a good point. So does that mean TikTok has fixed their algorithms for LGBT and POC creators then? I remember they were getting a lot of pushback because of those algorithms. Have people just kind of forgotten that? Or did TikTok ever address that? I truly don't know.
There was a big like a, almost like a quote walkout. Hold on, let me double check and see if I can find anything.
Okay, while you're digging for that, let me get to another couple comments, okay? Let's see, SJ100 Matt points out, remember when Twitter had a live video channel? Didn't really last long. If TikTok wants to take a real step into gaming, then they have to take risks and stick things out and not give it 3 years and trash it. But you know what's funny? There's so much video and photo content on Twitter, because the one social media I do use and I think I've done well with is Twitter. But otherwise, I'm like the people you're talking about, Dark Sakura. I go, oh, yeah, I have a TikTok. I don't know how to make compelling content for it. I really don't. So, and I can admit that. So,
you know what you need to do is put something vaguely controversial or on the edge of taboo.
But I don't know if I want to, you know, like, is that really me? I don't want to force myself to be something I'm not. I mean, I do have hot takes, but, you know. Oh no.
So by the way, the NPR did an article about this in February this year. That's probably one of the more recent things I can find, but I don't find anything about it being updated. I do know the thing about POC putting up like dance videos, you know, making those, I've created this dance to this song thing, and then the white girls stealing it and making it popular, you know, but it's
or
the like Bring It On.
The only TikTok creator that does dance videos that I follow is Paula Abdul. I was gonna say she does some good ones.
These are just like everyday people.
No, I know.
Who make
I know
the thing, yeah, and it becomes really nice.
Dijerome S does follow up his comment saying they addressed it, but to some content creators, it wasn't enough. My other issue with TikTok is how easily they can pull your data. Some companies have blocked TikTok on corporate devices. Well, yeah, maybe here's my controversial hot take. Companies should be blocking TikTok. That website is a waste of time. That's literally its purpose, is to waste time. And adding games into the service is to help you waste more time. So yeah, a company who doesn't block TikTok is not on the cutting edge of IT. Like, honestly, unless, of course, your business has a reason for being on TikTok. You are the social media person for your business. Okay, don't come at me with all the exceptions. But on a general level, companies should block TikTok. Absolutely.
They should put Cookie Clicker on TikTok. No, it's really, it'll create a black hole vacuum of unproductivity.
Cookie Talk.
For the record, in TikTok's privacy policy, it does have a way that you can submit a request to delete collected information, and also to submit requests through authorized agents to do it for you. So you can put in written requests to have your information not collected.
Interesting.
So there's also an opt-out option for third-party advertising. So that's on this other thing that I can. It's like a massive opt-out service. It's called like the NAI, and it's a full opt-out service for digital advertising and data sales.
My hot take on this whole thing with TikTok or whatever, I sort of look down the road at what this might turn into in a few years. And I think what it might be, you know, the quality of the games is not great now, but you know, what's only getting bigger is cloud gaming. And I think we've seen all of the other companies are starting to make their move really into cloud gaming, you know, whether it's Stadia, whether it's Amazon's Luna, whether it's Xbox, you know, and there's many others as well, right? So there's so many companies that are getting into cloud gaming. Like, wouldn't it be cool if on TikTok you're watching, oh, I don't know, a Dead by Daylight play going on, and then tap this button to jump into a Dead by Daylight match with me right now, or, you know, whatever it is, which ironically was one of Stadia's selling points, if I remember right, was the whole, you're
supposed
to. Did
that ever happen?
Did it, Jamie? You're the Stadia expert. I don't know. Like, you can stream your Stadia gameplay on YouTube and somebody can jump in and join the game with you live.
Yeah, that's on there. I don't use it because I'm on Twitch. And as an affiliate, I can't cross.
Right.
dream. But yeah, hold on. I'll just open up my game right now and I'll tell you what it says. Because there's a side panel. All right, so my Stadia thing is popping up. Well, you're just... Dead by Daylight. Okay, so first thing, looking for people to play with, start a public party. So there's that, where you can start a public party and anyone can join in whenever. And then I have open and full screen. And so on my side, I have windowed mode, which I'm going to go into. All right, so I've actually got some add-ons through some Chrome extensions. But yeah, there are other things on here about live stream. There's a live stream button at the bottom that says, it'll stream it to YouTube. And then I have another one at the bottom that says parties. So you can have a live party and people can jump in and out through a queue. And yeah.
See, this is fascinating to me because I feel like this is where everybody kind of wants to be, and like Google's there, but I feel like this is horrifically underutilized because of the, let's be honest, Jamie, I'm sorry to say this because I know you're a fan, but the rather lukewarm reception Stadia has been getting from the gaming masses and the gaming public, you know,
including Google.
It has been getting a lot better.
Well, but I don't think it made our show roll this week, but we had another one of those Google Stadia is going to get the plug pulled rumors going around this week, which obviously was fake. But I don't know if it's that people don't trust Google. I do think that's been a part of it from the very beginning.
Yes.
It was the very beginning when they launched Stadia. It doesn't matter how good it was. People said, well, Google has a track record of shutting shit down too early. So I wonder how long this is going to last too. So I get that skepticism.
In this case, it's under expansion. Mm. So they've just offered Portuguese support for Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Full Portuguese support. They have expanded more of their servers. They've brought in new games. They're in talks for more games. So they're expanding. They're just not doing the in-house stuff.
And you know, in speaking of some of the competitors as well, which live in a similar space to Stadia, I'm really surprised that Luna, being a part of Amazon with Twitch, does not have that exact same feature. Like I'm kind of shocked that Twitch does not have the ability to click a button and join me in this game right now via Luna, the cloud streaming service that you have access to this game as an Amazon Prime member, blah, 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 whatever in their universe. I'm really shocked that's not a feature. Now, maybe because Luna's technically still a beta or whatever, maybe that's something they're going to pull the red carpet back on at TwitchCon or something. I don't know. But I'm really surprised that's not a thing yet. And I'm sure it's a matter of time. And then, of course, why did Microsoft get rid of their streaming service? That was dumb because they could have, you know, incorporated the xCloud into that. But maybe they have another plan. I don't know. Silly, silly.
Also make sure that we avoid the ableist terms.
Do you think I'm an ableist person?
No, but it's still people talk about it. So I just want to be kind to all of our listeners.
If you personally are offended by what I'm doing, please send me an email. All right. SSGO100 Matt says, that's fair, but companies' directions change. It seems like Google has spent a lot on Stadia. I don't trust Google not to pull the plug. I just see a lot of trends with tech companies doing this and blaming it on the pandemic. Yeah, I mean, I understand. I can acknowledge everything Jamie is saying is true. And the reality is, yeah, Google scaled back on column A, but they're expanding in column B. But I can also say, yeah, the skepticism from the tech culture as a whole is still runs rampant because of their track record. I get it. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, you probably can sideload it. You just need an APK. So, all right. Anyway. Back on the TikTok thing, though, I think that it's probably just a matter of time before TikTok probably incorporates cloud gaming into it one way or another and really amps the quality of these games. But until we have devices that better bring games to our phones beyond just touch, I'm not sure that's going to be a reality. But then I guess Sony's got something in the works.
I just don't see the value in adding games. I get it, like, it keeps people on the platform, but like they're not really having trouble keeping people on the platform. I mean, that it's well known that it, like, people are very much engaged with the content on TikTok. They'll spend hours there, my wife. So I know that it's just, I don't see the value add for adding games to it. Like I can't see any users going, man, I really do, you know, check out TikTok if it had games on it. I just don't see that. And unless they're doing something notable with it, like saying, look, now you can make content involving these games as well. You know, that way maybe that might appeal to a crowd of people that want to watch people play mobile games. I don't know. But, like, something to that effect. Like, I just can't see the value add of adding games to it, because literally everybody is adding games to their platforms. Facebook's added games. You know, Netflix is looking to add games and stuff. Like, nobody has more interest in those platforms after games are being added. Like, I just think, read the room, TikTok. Like, I don't know. I just want to see them do something, you know, notable with it, like actually involve the games in the content creation for your platform. That would be something unique. That would be a selling point for your platform. But if you're just like, well, and games now, eh, just another platform people have to develop for.
You know, to be fair, it's still early on. You know, again, I see that TikTok is laying the groundwork for whatever is going to be ahead in the future. But we'll, you know, we'll see what that kind of turns into. But I do, you know, kind of like what Jamie was saying earlier, I do think at the end of the day, it's trying to get more eyes on the service, or keep eyes on the service, not more eyes, but keep eyes on the service from going to other places to play games by just click here to do this whole thing. So it'll be interesting. SG100 Matt has a very good point, too, in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, saying, all in all, I'm rooting for Stadia and TikTok to inspire and bring new games or tech into gaming. Stadia and Luna have pushed Sony and Microsoft to give us cloud gaming. Competition inspires innovation. That is true. I mean, I think Sony has made more of a push into the cloud this year than we've really seen them do with because PlayStation Now kind of always felt like an afterthought. But they've really kind of had to step it up with where they're at now this year. So this is interesting. All right. Anyway, I'm sure more to come on this, and we'll talk about it in future weeks. But let's get into our gaming weeks, the types of things that we've been playing this week. And Dark Sakura, I guess this probably is your gaming week, but I know you got to play a lot of classic games at a pretty big convention here on the West Coast this weekend, right?
Yep. So I went to California Extreme, and I have a sinus infection. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I wasn't 100%, and by the time it was done, I was like at minus 20%. But I had a great time, and I got to see friends. I ran into Mel and Melody and, their delightful little girl. Mm-hmm. And I saw Amanda and lots of friends. And, but anyway, I was going to go through some of the games that I played, because they had some interesting games there, a lot of staples. But I played a Tiny Miss Pac-Man, and I played, I was going to play it, and then I didn't. They had a Beatmania 2DX Beastrover.
Oh.
Didn't play it, because people were, like, trying to jump in front of me.
Oh.
They had a Dance Rush.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually watched someone play it who was pretty good and did some fun freestyle on it. Zen Monkey, no. That's not happening. I don't know where you're getting any of that information from. TikTok is not going to be the next Periscope. It's already proven that it's not. Hold on, I'm trying to find the... I took a picture of all the games that I played so that I would remember all the games that I would played. They had that Commodore 64 that I showed you.
Yeah, so in addition to having just, like, you know, the old arcade cabinets and the pinball machines and new, I guess it's really not just old arcades, it's really a history, because, you know, the 2DX, the Dance Rush, those are new games. So there's that, but it's also kind of a little bit of a trade show where people have, like, classic games, or I shouldn't say trade show, but, like, the swap meet or whatever you want to call it. Like, a bunch of vendors will bring, you know, classic stuff to these shows. And I know, yeah, you texted me about the Commodore 64 you saw, and I was like, I can't really spend money on stuff like that right now, but I thought it was cool. Like, it's nice to see, like, wow, that Pac-Man disc still works. That's cool, because I thought those things lost their magnetization after time.
It was real. It was it came with the system. So and they also had a disc drive. Yeah, they had some pretty neat, like, machines and stuff this year. A couple of people selling TurboGrafx and some other systems, and like a really fake Famicom. But they there was Kraken DJ, which I always suck at.
Oh my
of
God,
course, I played Beatmania game. 3, the final. Mm-hmm. They had a game called Dazzler, which I played just for the lulz. It's bad. Space Fury, which was one of my mother's favorite games in our ColecoVision. I am not great at it. They had a Return to Oz poster that I almost bought.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it shows up, but some guy was also selling a board game called Keeping It Saxy, and it was Kenny G on the cover. I played Bosconian, which, fun little game. I haven't played in a while. I played Super Street Fighter 2 and got my ass handed to me. I played Journey and got my ass handed to me. I played Strider and got my ass handed to me. I'm kidding. I actually did okay at Strider. I played a tabletop Pac-Man and did okay. And then I had Booze. And then, now this was cool. I don't know if anyone can see this on the camera, but they had a Famicom hooked up, an AV Famicom, and had Goonies in it. Not Goonies 2, nice. But Goonies.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Another person was selling the baseball team Lions in Japan edition Game Boy. I knew a friend who had the GameCube that they put out for the Hanshin Tigers. So those end up being pretty rare. They're like only sold in this one like baseball store, you know. I'm trying to find. I also met the person who has like the world's high score in a Bubble Bobble and Puzzle Bobble. Okay, I played the new Toy Story 4 pinball.
Oh yeah, I didn't even know there was one of those until I saw it. Like, really, your husband nice posted a picture on Facebook. Yeah.
I got some pictures of that. I'll throw them up. I beat Vampire Savior. Funny enough, like, I've only played, like, Queen Bee a couple of times, so just it was, like, a terrible monitor, too. But I decided to play, and I beat Vampire Savior. Hmm. Yay.
Yay.
They had a prototype for Far Cry 5 Paradise Lost, like a machine gunner game.
Huh.
And, hold on, I'm going to actually try to get to where
for Far Cry 5? That sounds awesome. Oh, it... Let's see, Paradise Lost.
Maybe like a spin-off.
Oh, Far Cry Paradise Lost. Yeah. I thought you said Far Cry 5 for some reason.
There's a 5 behind it.
It probably was like a game released around the same time or something, yeah.
Weird, because, yeah, that's the artwork for like the original Far Cry game. I thought it might have been... Oh, actually, that's not 5. I think that was 4, where it was in the mountains, and they had a guy that had
It's just Far Cry Instincts Paradise Lost.
Oh, okay, Far Cry Instincts. Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's a spinoff of the original game. So,
but it was cool. Fun, and you got points for headshots, and you could blow shit up, which I liked.
I love the original Far Cry.
Who doesn't love to blow shit up?
I played DJ Max Technica 3.
Nice.
Okay, so gosh, this is going to look absolutely terrible.
Yeah, which again, for our podcast listeners, but she's showing video of somebody actually playing that Dance Rush game, and it just looks like fireworks exploding under somebody's feet.
It's really cool.
It should be.
I played Metal Slug 4.
Never looked like that playing that game.
I played Computer Space Ball, which is a version of Pong. It's a.
SSJ 100 Matt is asking about fun pins. Well, you mentioned Toy Story 4.
There's more. I'm getting there.
All right.
I'm getting there. I played R-Type. I love R-Type. I'm bad at it. I played Crazy Auto. You know what Crazy Auto was? It was the prototype for Ms. Pac-Man, and they recreated it.
Yeah.
Melody played Tapper. I played Timber. I played Carnival. I saw a group called the Tonberries. I played Rob Zombie's Spook Show for pinball.
Oh, I didn't know he had a pinball machine.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat one. I played Tenkomori Shooting, which is kind of, I guess, like the kind of like a point blankish kind of game. I found a Neil. I bought some games, but I grabbed Highlight instead of Final Fantasy II. But I have Final Fantasy III. I have Hattori Hanzo. I have Transformers Mystery of Convoy. And I got Space Panic for ColecoVision. And I also bought the Mega Ranger box set for Super Sentai series.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't pay a whole lot for it. I'm happy. I also got a... I think it's like a necklace kind of thing or a hangy thing, but it has a little rabbit on it from Secret of Mana.
Oh, cute.
But now as for the pinballs, because there were a lot of pinballs there, I pretty much didn't play anything that I own. But I did play some Rush. The one that I wanted to play and didn't get to because I was always so busy was Godzilla.
Mm.
But I played some Deadpool, played the other one I wanted to play was Big Bang Bar, because you know I love Big Bang Bar. And it was either down or in use. I played Bride of Pinbot. They did not have a Bride of Pinbot 2.0. You know which one that is, right?
Yeah, it's the one you used to have, right?
We borrowed one. We didn't have
I don't know which tables are yours and which ones
are. Bright, but you know Bride of Pinbot, you know, with the eyes and everything. Yeah. And it had the just the, you know, standard clock type scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
Someone went in and did a mod for it that uses a color DMD and the newer style rule sets.
Yeah, I remember.
Processors.
Yeah, I remember that machine you had at your house at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. But that it had like extra modes and everything and all kinds of neat music. It really brought Bride of Pinbot to, you know, the modern pinball age. They also had a legit Cactus Canyon because they finally finished and got those distributed. But there were also like some other prototype games around, some fan games. Of course, I had like a Killer Bee. They had a Cyberball, and I was like so tempted to try to find someone to play it with me because that also is like college vibes because it was right next. It was on the same wall as my World Cup Soccer. There was also like a Metal Slug 5. They didn't bring like the full scale Japanese candy cabs like they had a few years ago, but they did have like a couple bullet hell games, and they had the Sega Tetris.
And, oh, the gigantic one?
No. That's like the Ticket Spitter Tetris. They had like the Sega Tetris.
I see.
The one that they do for tournament play now. They had like a sit down Star Wars. They had the Star Trek simulator game. They had I called it like my ColecoVision corner because they had Space Fury and Mousetrap and Gorf and Carnival, which is all stuff I enjoyed playing on ColecoVision. And they had that ambulance game, but right when I went to go play it, some guy just walked over and put his kid on it. And I'm like, he's like, oh, were you going to play this? You could play this game. I was like, no, I wanted to play this one. And I had more choice things to say, but I didn't say them. Because there are certain things that children are too young to hear.
Coleco's got... Didn't we just hit like the 40th or 40... Yeah, 40th anniversary of Coleco? I think we did.
I don't know. I had such a pretty good time. I mean, I got super worn out. Dan said that they did their epic Warlords game. And I had my customary amaretto sour and wandered around and talked to people, just random people, and got very overstimulated and then went to go sit down. And I kind of wish that I had other games on my phone that I felt like playing, but I was kind of gamed out a few moments, you know, here and there. Yeah. But I talked to some people, made some friends. It was a lot of fun. It was, last year that we had it at somewhere else and it was much smaller. This year they were back to the same place, had the full ballroom. Dan went to a panel with the creator of Qbert.
Well, that's cool.
I didn't go to that one. I didn't know because he didn't tell me until after he was done. But they had the pinball tournament room. So they did the pinball tournament. They had the console room, you know, with people playing Rock Band and singing. And
oh, fun.
And I may have been singing Edge of Glory from the vending area.
Nice.
Because the person that was singing it, she did okay. She was just a little off key. And then there was this kid that gets up and starts, I don't know, but he did like the death metal version of, it was a David Lee Roth era, Van Halen song. And now I can't remember what it was. And it's not Hot for Teacher. It wasn't David Lee Roth. It was Van Hagar era. He did Run Around.
Okay.
But he did it like in this death metal voice. It was actually kind of metal. That was just like, there's the fun experiences like that. They had the Tonberries playing. They had some other band that I didn't stay for because it was really loud in that small room.
It sounds like quite the collection of stuff this year. I'm sad I missed it, but between COVID and I have plans to go to the Bay Area next week for a concert. I didn't really want to do 2 weeks in a row. So,
but you know, that other side room that they would have with more arcade games in it.
Yeah. It's been a while, but
it wasn't there. It was closed off.
Oh,
so we had one less room of games, but it was still pretty fun. They had a lot of, two player table games. Like they had the Joust table and, just a few other things. They had a bunch of the tables laid out in the hallway too. Just, you know, I guess some overflow. And for a moment I thought Dan was sending me a correction. No. We now have an insulated garage.
Nice.
Oh, I wish I had one of those.
Our game room is almost there. We're having our air conditioner for it installed on the 16th.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're having the gaming garage. I know I'm tangenting, but this is important.
No, it's the future of gaming at your house.
We have Dan put carpet tiles down that are gray and black in the shape of one of the Space Invader aliens.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week. But yeah, that's cool. How was the attendance this year? I mean, because it was still kind of back to normal or back to pre-pandemic, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
It was busy, and there were a decent number of people masked, and they were highly encouraging it. And the employees or the volunteers were masked, but there were a lot of people who were not.
Yeah.
And I had some intervals just because, I mean, I do have asthma, where I had to take my mask off just to catch my breath a little bit. Mm-hmm. I tried to do that more in open areas, you know, where it wasn't so thick and full of people. But I don't know if it's fatigue just from having been up all day, because, you know, I do have that condition. But I'm feeling white today and had a sore throat. I did have a sore throat last night too, but I also have a sinus infection.
Well, so
I'm going to test in 5 days.
I was gonna say, take a test in the morning. It's the only way I know for sure.
Mm-mm. Nope. 5 days.
3 days from initial
exposure. 5 days according to CDC.
3 days according to CDC, but that's all right.
I just looked it up today.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Your health. All right. Speaking from personal experience, it only took 3 days, but that's all right. What do I know? All right. Let's move on with our gaming weeks and talk about, Loki, we'll go to you. How was your gaming week?
It's Minecraft. Yeah. I've been, working on designing it's a robot repair shop. It's supposed to be like an old gas station converted over to repair robots. So it's got a bunch of like broken stuff out front, and I try to make, like kind of I like a lot of the stuff that I build to have some sort of, like, not necessarily effects, but, like, just, like, action movement to them. So, like, stuff moves when you walk past one of the robots. You hear it kind of, like, break down a little bit. Or, like, one of the robots that's fallen flat on the ground, like, the light in the back of it's flashing and stuff. So, like, stuff like that, try to incorporate in there. But it looks pretty cool so far. So that'll be coming in a video here very soon. I'm just working on designing the interior for it because it's supposed to be a shop. But, yeah, lots of people have been doing stuff on the server, and it looks really nice. Very nice spawn town there. I was looking at my analytics earlier, and we're up to 520 subscribers, or 519, I think. So it's slowly moving along.
You're getting there.
Yeah. Yep, we'll get there eventually. Years. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on. Yeah, I probably should play some other games. There's the Nestmaker Bite Off 3 is going on pretty soon here. I have considered making something for it, but probably not. I don't think I can juggle both at the same time. That was my, that was kind of like why I wasn't doing like YouTube stuff like months ago, is because of the Nestmaker stuff. It's hard to do juggle both with like the limited schedule. So I probably won't do anything for that. I did have somewhat of an idea for something, but like, I don't know. I still want to go through. They put up new courses for the software that's more, it's way more in depth than what they've done in the past. In the past, they've kind of gone with the angle of like, okay, you can kind of, you can drag drop stuff to make a game, but this is like, okay, yeah, you could do that and you'll get something that we could kind of call a game. But like, if you really want to make a game, like you would just not even use any of the modules that we created and go like completely from scratch and just completely code the whole thing. That's the new course that they have now. So it's like a super advanced course, which is good because you can do a lot of things that you can't normally do if you just use their software for like all of the arrangement of everything. There's, you know, animations and stuff. I haven't even updated their software in months, so it probably offers a lot more now anyways. But yeah, I'm very curious to see what that is, and then of course all the games are gonna come out from that. But yeah, the game I wanted to make, or an idea for a game that I had, would be based off of Hermitcraft Season 7. They did Tango did a thing called Decked Out. It was a game that they played basically where you go into this like maze. It's not really a maze, it's like a bunch of different rooms, like a dungeon, if you will. And then there's these giant monsters called Ravagers that are chasing you down. And you have a compass that guides you to basically a treasure spot. So it's randomized each time, and then you go and find the treasure, and then you have to get out without dying. And then with that, you get cards that provide different abilities. So there's like this noise meter that goes up called Clank, that as more Clank is accumulated, you know, the danger gets greater. And so they have some that will like help you avoid getting that. There's some that adds more treasure and all that different things. So that was the idea that I was like, okay, cool, I can make a NES version of that. Then, you know, put that out, get like the Hermitcraft crowd interest in the channel and stuff like that, you know. But that's way too much work. So I'm just going to do what I'm doing now.
All right.
Hey, if it ain't fixed, don't break it.
It's a lot of work for just something that like some people will casually look at. No one's not going to be like, come check out everything. It'd just be like, hey, it's a neat thing.
You should do a behind the scenes video.
Of what? Of my,
just of what you how, do.
Sure. I could.
I mean, I think the behind the scenes stuff for you know, especially might inspire other content creators.
Yeah, there's a few groups that I've been like joining their Discords for. So like, I just joined a Discord for another group of content creators on a server called Nomad Craft. So they've started their third season. There's some of them I've followed from like other things that they've done. So I've been like giving advice in there because a lot of them, there's a few members that are just starting out, so they're all making the same mistakes I did before, where like really horrible audio and stuff like you know, like where they're talking very quietly and then all of a sudden blasting the music. And let's say, okay, I can't listen. I can't watch your videos. They're unwatchable like that when your volume is just all over the place. So, like, I've been trying to offer advice, like, here's what you do to normalize all this. Because, like, yeah, I wasn't that bad. But, like, I had some issues with audio because it wasn't the perfect, you know, environment to record in. And
just here's look what at you your waveform and see where the spikes are. Adjust the spikes.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, they're just getting started. Like, you know, they have less than 20 subscribers and stuff like that. So it's fine. I get it. You'll make mistakes. You'll learn from the mistakes. You'll get better. So,
I'll get into my gaming week, which was a lot of similar things. I played more Final Fantasy 14, more Dead by Daylight, a little bit more No Man's Sky. Finally started that expedition. You might remember last week we talked about a patch, and I was like, it's kind of weird that they haven't started the new expedition yet, but they did roll it out this week. Something that was interesting about the new expedition, it's the first time that you don't start on a planet, and it has the normal intro sequence. So they actually, and maybe this is part of the reason why it took a little longer, they changed the intro to a female narration voiceover, which cool. And it was just like a different voice, and you start on a freighter as opposed to on a planet. And the theme of the expedition is definitely about freighters. And for what it's worth, if Bobby's out there listening, I have yet to have to fight pirates, and I'm on page 2 out of what, 5 pages. And I did not see fighting as any of the things. It's all about freighter building and exploring with your freighter and doing things related to that. So that's kind of cool. So I did get to explore some of the things they actually patched in about. Yeah, they really just made your freighter, like, just took it one step further so that you could build out like a full base on your freighter, which you kind of could already do, but now they've have tailored rooms and tailored environments, and that you can like build out onto like observation decks. And that's the cool part, because you could actually have more windows, and like if you park your freighter in front of a planet, you'll see that planet in the background. It's just really cool. So yeah, it's cute that they took it a step further. I don't think it's a major content patch, but it's, I mean, still, it's like, wow, they're still patching at all that game all this time out. So I'll continue playing that expedition. I haven't been streaming it just because my energy in general has been low ever since the COVID thing. It's just a little bit slower of recovery, but I'll get back there and do some more streaming soon.
I almost forgot.
Yeah,
I did play Dead by Daylight. Final
of course
Fantasy,
you did. Of course, of course you did. All right, I would be shocked if you
did. I had to say, because I didn't see me for a week, and you reminded me. Thank you. Sorry, bye.
I also played, I play my GPS games, Ingress, Pikmin, and Pokemon Go. Had an event today for shiny Hisuian Vullabies. Was the thing today, and. I did what, like something like 15 raids and caught one shiny, but it got me motivated to walk around downtown. And the other thing that they've added, Braviary? Vullaby is the base. Sorry, I was close. Same family. No, it's not even the same family. Vullaby's the other one. Whatever. Rufflet. Baby Rufflet turns into Braviary. But I was going to say, the thing that Pokemon Go did recently that I thought was kind of cool, was they added this new incense that's like your daily incense that you use. And it lasts for 15, it's a blue incense. It lasts for 15 minutes, and you try to catch basically as many Pokemon as you can in 15 minutes, but you have to keep moving in order for it to spawn more Pokemon. But the interesting thing about it, it works the exact same in rural areas versus cities. So it's finally a feature that they've added in, as a bit of a response to the rural players that say there's nothing for us, to kind of, you know, help motivate. And it, it has the social media sharing of, hey, look, I caught 26 Pokemon on my walk today. And that whole thing where you can actually see a picture of everything you caught. So you can see just how many fucking, the same things I always get. Apparently the generation 1 birds reskinned in Pokemon Legends that were kind of redone are like a reward that you can actually get for that. They're very low catch rate and they run very easy, but I thought it was kind of neat that they built that into it. So I think daily incense is probably one of the better features they put in Pokemon Go for quite some time. And I'm also kind of surprised they should have had the trigger ready to go on this before they reverse the other incense changes. And it probably would have stung a lot less. But who knows? Maybe this is because of that. Oh, I didn't realize there were Galarian versions. I thought they went into thanks, Steft. Sorry, clearly I don't know my Pokemon well enough. So they're the Galarian versions. I thought they were from Legends. So interesting. Okay. Well, still, it's you know, a rarer version of those birds than have been in the game before. So it's kind of neat they tied it to that feature. But yeah, yeah, and Mike Def says the daily incense doesn't require you to move. If not, it doesn't work at all. And plus, you can't fast catch. And if you catch with the Pokemon Go Plus, I don't think they go into your log. I don't know if it works or not. Plus, I wouldn't want to try to catch a legendary bird with the Pogo Plus. So, like, you have to actually play the game. That's the part that sucks, is you can't fast catch. I don't like that. But really? Mike Dev says you can fast catch? No, because they won't go away. I guess that you can fast catch, but then they stay on the map. And if you tap it again, no matter what you do, it'll run away. So it's weird. So anyway, really, Def says he does fast catch. I swear when I did it the first day, it doesn't work. But I'll try it again. I'll screen record this time. So, all right. But that was pretty much it for Make It. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about with Pokemon Go today. But I don't know. The game's still more interesting to me right now than it's been in a while. So there's that. All right. We're going to get into some gaming news. First off, though, before we get into gaming news, something I just wanted to bring up. I'm sure everybody heard this news today, but I have to acknowledge and tip the hat and express the sadness I felt when I heard Nichelle Nichols passed away today. You know, I know she was not in the greatest health, but still, you know, what a legend. And you might be thinking, what does this have to do with video games? And I argue Nichelle Nichols broke barriers in television, in sci-fi, in everything. And yes, that includes games. She broke down barriers for people of color. She broke down barriers for women. And I think, and just, you know, I never had the pleasure of meeting her, but I've always heard nothing but glowing things about just what a nice, truly wonderful person she is. And you can't say that about everybody that was on the original 89's
series. 89's a good run.
But I digress. Yeah, I mean, 89 is a great run. It's still sad, you know.
Tiara and I were saying earlier that we need a protective bubble around George Takei and Walter Koenig. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, why is Shatner still around? And I think that he's using blood transfusions from Keith Richards.
You know, I'm just going to say it. That was my first reaction, is why couldn't it have been Shatner? All right. But maybe I should unspeak that. It's probably not a nice thing to say.
Oh, no. Shatner is a terrible person.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I know. Especially the things he says about autistic people.
I didn't I tell the story about the Star Trek cruise? Maybe I didn't say it was about Shatner. It was about Shatner. All right. Let's see. But anyway, I don't want to bring up negativity around her passing, because it's incredibly sad event. And yes, she was not in the best health, but it doesn't make it any less sad, especially knowing what a trail that she blazed for everyone, but especially women and people of color. Pod Culture says, awesome lady, got to meet her a couple of times. SG100 Matt points out, Bill Russell passed away today too from the sports world. Both badasses that broke barriers and pioneers. And then I'm so sorry, I forget her name in the moment. Pat Carroll, the voice.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she was in her 90s, but still, you know, again, doesn't make it any less sad.
Classic voice.
What a horrible
Ursula
day.
In The Little Mermaid. Yeah. That's how a lot of people, yeah. Well, you know, they say it happens in threes.
Yeah. What a horrible day. All right. But anyway, I wanted to make sure we acknowledge that because it's important. So let's get into some gaming news from there. Loki.
All right. So Steam is clamping down on some of these, I guess, the artwork for different games. You may see a lot of these kind of, it reminds me of the box art in some of the retail games that are out there, Batman Game of the Year Edition, where you have all of your accolades, you know, being put up on there, or like sometimes they'll put like, you know, it's on sale right now. You know, more things to try to catch your eye as you're browsing the store. Well, Steam's not having any of that. They want it to be straightforward. So they're basically saying that no more. We're not allowing award logos, review scores. You know, basically they have a set of guidelines now that they're not allowing any of that stuff. So no review scores of any kind, no word names, no discount marketing copy, no text or imagery promoting a different product, and no other miscellaneous text.
I mean, I understand the promoting a different product and the miscellaneous text and some of that silly stuff, but I'm a little, I mean, imagine if they did that to movie posters. You couldn't put award logos or clips from reviews or review scores. Like, think of how many movie posters you've seen that are filled with that stuff. So I'm a little surprised they're throwing that out in Steam as well.
That's because I think this is more of like, it's more of like a, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like if even if like Netflix and stuff has all that stuff in their like titles, but like it's just supposed to be cleaner to look at is what they're trying to get at. If you want to put all your awards and stuff in
the Steam store is full of garbage. We all know that. There's so much garbage on the Steam store, and I understand they have to do something about it.
Yeah. So if they keep that pretty much clean, you can put all your award text and everything like that in the body of your actual store page, but with the actual logo itself, they don't want any of that.
E3VL in chat says some of the quotes are out of context anyway. Oh, absolutely. But again, movies do the same thing. And you also have critics that will intentionally say things to get on movie posters to bump up their own cred. I mean, I don't trust that stuff on movie posters. Maybe awards, depending on what you're into, might sway your decision a little bit, but I would never trust. Pull quotes.
I do like the page that they show off examples of that, because once again this goes back to like I think I saw a Twitter posting from the artist before that was making these fake game I guess not screenshots but like game art for these stuff. So you have Guitar Billionaire, it's probably fine. Custard, or was it Custard Castle Small Claims Court? You know, it's just fun little mock artworks that they put on there.
I mean, if I were to say something like, let's say like Yaris, and I say, oh man, Yaris is the game of the year for me to poop on, you know, they can pull the quote, I called it game of the year, ... So it's just pull quotes always are a little
bit. If there was one game that came out in the year that Yaris came out, it would be the game of the year. But since there are other things,
any other game is a better game than Yaris is a better game. I don't know what they'd call it. Better game, better gaming. Anyway,
you know, we talk so much crap about Yaris, and there's real developers behind that game that developed that.
I know.
I mean, it was a paycheck, you know.
It's a paycheck. Yeah,
it was a paycheck.
I don't hold anything against them, but I do hold something against, you know, the Yaris.
At least they didn't charge for it.
That's true. That's true. At least they didn't charge for it. All right. Well, for things that might be a little more pleasant to drive, let's talk about Mario Kart. And yes, still content coming in for Mario Kart and some Mario Kart DLC that's coming. August 4th, Wave 2 was announced. And I got to say, some of these courses sound great. So Wave 2 will be including the Turnip Cup and the Propeller Cup. The Turnip Cup has Tour New York Minute from Mario Kart Tour, SNES Mario Circuit 3, a classic course, Calamari Desert from N64, that's a classic course, and one of my very favorite courses in all of Mario Kart, DS Waluigi Pinball. Is coming out for that's worth it right there, in my opinion. The Propeller Cup has the Sydney Sprint from Tour, Snowland from GBA, the Mushroom Gorge from the Wii. I think that was a pretty cool one. And some folks were saying, you know, does this mean they're all going to be recycled courses? And it turns out the answer is no. I think there was one new course in the first set, and now we're going to get a new course called Sky High Sunday. And it's a little, of course, ice cream parlor themed new course that's in the mix as well. So, I mean, great. I mean, how long has this game been out? Like 8 years, and it's still getting new content. So you can check that out. Again, that is coming out on August 4th is when that releases. Now, apparently, there has also been some rumors about future Mario Kart DLC. You know, we love rumors. Apparently, there was a video that came out earlier on Twitter that kind of correctly called the Turnip Cup and the Propeller Cup, that they just knew because of the data that they knew that Turnip was going to be a tour Super Nintendo, N64, and DS track. Propeller was tour GBA, Wii, and unspecified, the new course, right? So we're going to be getting, if the rest of this is accurate, there's going to be the Rock Cup, the Moon Cup, the Fruit Cup. I love that, the Fruit Cup. The Boomerang Cup, the Feather Cup, the Cherry Cup, the Acorn Cup, and the Spiny Cup. And across all of those, there are...
What about the Yogurt Cup, the Froyo Cup?
The Activia Cup? There are six question marks, so which indicate six new courses potentially coming. For you classic folks, though, only one SNES course in the Cherry Cup, apparently. But Tour is the big one. Every single cup has a tour, at least one tour track in it. So definitely, it sounds like, if nothing else, Mario Kart Tour kind of donated tracks to Mario Kart 8. But I don't think that's too surprising, you know, considering that Mario Kart Tour didn't quite end up having that same reception at the end of the day. But they're sure getting the most out of that content, aren't they? So, SG100 Matt suggests the Pinkberry Cup. Oh, remember the days when we were obsessed with Pinkberry? They're still around, but it is... Well, number one, I can't have all that sugar anymore. It kind of ruins it for me, doesn't it? But
they have sugar free.
They do.
You know where they have a pink berry? They have one over at the Roseville Galleria.
Oh yeah, right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, right in time for round one to finally open.
When's that place ever going to open?
On the 6th, apparently.
Really?
Yes.
Where did you hear that?
It was actually posted on their site, I think. I saw it in the arcade, I forget what they call it now, the previously called Shawnigan's Arcade thing.
Interesting.
The Sacramento game thing. But
I
yeah,
will
it
stop
is
this entire show to look this up. Where? Okay, it still says coming soon on the website. Would it
Sactown
be?
Sactown Players. Yeah, it's on the Westfield Galleria at Roseville website. It says round one entertainment opening Saturday, August 6th.
Oh.
10 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Interesting. Hold on. I gotta find this.
Yeah, so it's Westfield Galleria website.
I'm looking at it. I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Oh my god, you're right. 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. How about that? Hold on. Yes, I will shut this whole show down with local news. Absolutely. Because this is important. But there it is, right there. Look at that on the right side. Opening Saturday, August 6th. Oh, I have to text Shane. He's going to be so excited because he's going to be here like right after that for a wedding. And so he'll be able to go. How funny. That's great.
Yeah. So I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah. I want to go as well. So that's great. All right. Let's move on. We have more news and I need to step away for just a moment. So Dark Sakura, what do you have for us in the news?
Oh, some stuff. So Analog, you know, the company that does a lot of the new hardware for old material. Of course, they have the Analog Pocket, which is a really cool handheld device that resembles a Game Boy in how it's set up. They have announced a port of a game that came out in 1962, the original Space War. It was done in 1962 by a bunch of engineers led by Steve Russell at MIT. They used a PDP-1 mini computer and a 1024 by 1024 pixel CRT display. And they had a game with two spacecraft fighting it out in the gravitational well of a star. And they had different controllers for it, and they could... Now, I remember being on record saying that it's actually not the oldest video game, that there was that one played on a radar back in the 40s, but this one was legit, you know, a two-player game, and now they have it where it will play on the Analog Pocket. And what's pretty cool about it is that... a third-party developer called Spaceman 3 had the source code from the P1 computer and Space War, since they're both public domain. So they had that with the open FPGA software, and they had it set to emulate, and it had some very interesting things about it. So since a 1024 by 1024 vector display would generate the image a slightly different way, they had to make some changes to accommodate it. So it is a little bit cleaner, a little bit crisper. There's no AI, of course, because, I mean, this was all, you know, a game. Mm-hmm. But it's been released with their software update. So, the software update also adds save states and a few other things. So there you go.
All right. Well, I think you have a somewhat related story, Loki, right?
Yep. So along with the updates to the Analog Pocket, because they did put out that wonderful open FPGA program, there's been some folks using the repository to create emulators. So there's a couple of repositories opened by Spiritualized 1997, who very quick after the release had a repository for Open FPGA GBA and then Open FPGA Game Boy and Game Boy Color. So allows you to basically download these and then run ROMs off of the Analog Pocket. And so there's a small process that involves, I think, it allows you to jailbreak the device, and then you can run ROMs. Because right now the Analog Pocket's meant specifically for actual hardware, running the actual cartridges themselves. I'm assuming that they're going to open this up for other ROMs eventually, or someone will develop that, because at some point they were supposed to have, you know, compatibility with like the Turbo Pocket, or and Atari Lynx, and maybe I don't know if it was like any Genesis or anything like that, Game Gear, that type of stuff. But I don't know. Maybe those are coming. Actually, speaking of Game Gear, it looks like they've already started working on that as well. They even have an archive of all the different title screen images for, I guess, I imagine it's for the game browser for that. So, interesting. The waste is no time.
Hacker's going to hack. Jailbreaker's going to jailbreak.
Yep.
Toaster installer's going to install. S200 Matt is asking, is it still really hard or take forever to ship the Analog Pocket? I think they do still have a pretty limited stock, don't they? They're not getting them out as fast as the Steam Decks, apparently.
Sure. I don't know how readily available those are.
All right. Well, let's talk about another classic, and this is an MMO classic. It's World of Warcraft, you know, back when everybody was actually still playing it. Sorry to those that are still playing it, but let's be real. The game probably peaked around the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. And if you want to revisit the game as it was during the Wrath of the Lich King, when both myself and Dark Sakura were actively playing, you can do that with World of Warcraft Classic on September 26th. So I'm sure many of you know that World of Warcraft a few years ago launched the classic version of World of Warcraft. And since then, they've launched a kind of parallel, some servers that are dedicated to the Burning Crusade expansion, which was the first expansion. Well, now they're going to be doing it again with the second expansion for the game, and that is World of Warcraft's Wrath of the Lich King expansion. That was announced this week, and it will be coming out September 26th. To celebrate the expansion coming, there's a new leveling mechanic in the game called Joyous Journeys. So if you're playing Burning Crusade Classic, you can toggle a 50% experience boost. That's a lot, but it is something you toggle at the innkeeper, I'm assuming to preserve the status of the game for those that don't want that, or they don't want the help because, you know, they're in it for the classic experience. So, but if you want, you can opt into the Joyous Journeys boost to level up your character to get it ready for Wrath of the Lich King Classic. If you weren't already aware...
Some people like hard...
What's that?
Some people like hard mode.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I believe even though they launched Burning Crusade, they kept Vanilla WoW servers available, and you could copy to like a one that was going to stay there. So I'm pretty sure with Lich King, they're going to do the same thing, and you can choose to have a character frozen in time in either Vanilla WoW, Burning Crusade WoW, or Wrath of the Lich King WoW, which is kind of neat.
I was just going to ask, like, are they just going to eventually update everybody into the modern ones? Like, ah, now the classic servers are the modern servers.
I don't think so, and I'm going to be honest. I think this is the last one. I really do, because honestly, I'm going to keep it real. This is where the game peaked for most people. For me, anyway, I could say it, because what was next? Cataclysm? See, the problem with Cataclysm is that it went back and redid Vanilla WoW, and that was the start of people wanting to do it. Yeah, but, you know, that was the start of people, you know, wanting the older experience. I don't know. I guess maybe they could do Cataclysm, but then when you get to Pandaria, I'm sorry, that's when the game really started to nosedive. So I don't see them going all the way to Pandaria, but who knows? Who knows? You know, even if it's one server, maybe they'll do it. Who knows? You know, one server for each expansion. I bet they could fill an audience with that. If you didn't already know, this is included with a World of Warcraft subscription. So, Loki, to your point, you have to pay for Modern WoW anyway to get access to this. So
I know.
You might as well, right? Yeah. All right. Let's move on. I like this next story, Dark Sakura, because this is like one of those science-y, the science side of gaming.
And you know, I always love to see the like the scientific and psychological research that goes in behind gaming's gamers is what I meant. So there has been shown as published in neuroimage reports by Georgia State University researchers that there are superior sensor motor decision making skills and enhanced activity in key regions of the brain in frequent video game players as compared to non-gamers. They used fMRI, which is functional magnetic resonance imaging, to show how that different parts of the brain are stimulated. So what they did, so basically they were saying that video games played by the overwhelming majority of young people, they said young people, for more than 3 hours every week shows that decision-making abilities are improved, but they don't know how. So with their work, they're showing that it's basically brain training. They also call it a therapeutic intervention. So it's stress relief. But it was the lead author on the paper is Tim Jordan, who has a PhD in physics and astronomy. In his history, he was talking about having weak vision in one eye as a child. And in a study, he said when he was about 5 years old, he was asked to cover his good eye and play a video game as a way to strengthen the vision in the weak one. And he basically went from legally blind in one eye to being very strong in that eye. And he could go on and play lacrosse and paintball. Now he's a postdoctoral researcher at UCLA. So basically, they had 47 college-age participants, 28 categorized as regular gamers, and 19 as non-players. And they had each of them lay in an fMRI machine with a mirror so they could see a cue with a display of moving dots. And they were asked to press a button on the right or left to indicate which direction the dots were moving, or resist pressing a button if there was no directional movement. And then basically the gamers were faster and more accurate with their responses. Mm-hmm. And the brain scans showed that there was enhanced activity in certain parts of the brain. And I'll just read the quote here. These results indicate video game playing potentially enhances several of the subprocesses for sensation, perception, and mapping to action to improve decision-making skills. These findings begin to illuminate how video game players playing alters the brain in order to improve task performance and the potential implications for increasing task-specific activity. There was no trade-off between speed and accuracy of response. They just said that they were better on both of those as opposed to the non-Nick gamers. So they're basically saying video games are great cognitive trainers. And if anyone wants to wants a link to the the actual study, it is labeled "Video Game Players Have Improved Decision Making Abilities and Enhanced Brain Activities," and you can see it on Science Direct.
Mike Deft in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, "Just look at Tetris players." Yeah, I mean, you see the brain in motion there.
I'm putting the link to the published article in chat for our live listeners.
I mean, gamers, we always knew we were smarter than everyone else, right?
just telling us what we already know.
We already knew.
It's not a matter of smarts. It's a matter of reactions.
No, it is. It, like there might actually be something to that hand-eye coordination that we always said video games would help with.
That much has been proven, but now they're showing where the brain is triggered from it.
It's interesting stuff. It's nice to have the science to back it up. There's still a lot of people out there that won't believe it, but what can you do?
I know all of this, you know, wonderful brain development has made me a more effective killer too. So
stop
I mean,
in a video game. All right. Sure. In Dead by Daylight. All right. Moving on, Loki, you have an update of sorts for us.
Yes. Update, if you will, better phrase is like, we're just marking the anniversary of inaction. So a better Ubisoft was a group that was developed trying to get Ubisoft, you know, to do the right thing and address some of these harassment issues. Well, they posted that it has been 1 year to the day that we've signed our open letter to Ubisoft management calling for far more action to take our tackle abuse and setting out our four key demands. None of these demands have been made or been met so far. Their key demands, for reference, was stop promoting and moving known offenders from studio to studio, team to team, with no repercussions. This cycle needs to end. Number two, we want a collective seat at the table to have a meaningful say in how Ubisoft as a company moves forward from here. Three, cross-industry collaboration to agree on a set of ground rules and processes that all studios can use to handle these offenses in the future. And four, this collaboration must heavily involve employees in a non-management positions and union representatives. Of course, as we've mentioned, literally any time we bring up Ubisoft, they have not addressed any of the allegations whatsoever. I think the most that they've done is investigated themselves and found no wrongdoing. So,
and it's interesting that Activision Blizzard took all the heat in this whole thing. You know, not enough noise is being made about Ubisoft and the fact that things, you know, and literally nothing's changed there in a year is really what we're saying here. You know, with all these demands, nothing's changed in a year.
Well, they got their Ubisoft Forward event that's coming out pretty soon that I'm sure will be full of people talking about that. So remember last time?
I hope the media reports them hand in hand. I hope the media reports it as Ubisoft Forward has not moved forward in the past year happened today.
Yeah, more like Ubisoft backwards. But no, they did that last year. Remember when they put out there was like a brief silent, you know, wall of text where it's like, we take this stuff seriously, and this is about the games. We're not going to talk about this right now. Yeah. We're not going to get into the politics.
The inaction has shown truly the meaning behind all that white text on a black screen.
Mind you, that letter, that open letter, was signed by 500 employees at the company. So it's not just like one person like, I don't think you're doing this right. It's a lot of people that think that you're not doing it right, as well as the gaming community thinks that you're not doing it right. And then continues to support them by buying their games. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're unhappy about it.
As Joan Hunter Matt says, nothing will change until Eves is gone, which isn't happening. Yeah, and that's sad. You know, like, again, these CEOs are not being held accountable. Even in the Activision Blizzard thing, even though we see the light at the end of the tunnel with, you know, the Microsoft purchase. And, yeah, I do believe things will get better with Microsoft. And I think also the fact that the unionizations are happening and they cannot stop it. I think is, you know, also a good thing to happen. It's just amazing to me that Bobby Kotick isn't unemployed. Amazing to me. But we all know the board is protecting him. They're all protecting each other, all of them. So that's the one good thing about Microsoft coming in is that, you know, even though they have to kind of say for now, well, there'll be a transitionary capacity. Microsoft can get rid of them all as soon as the deal's done. And I think they will. I don't think there's going to be a place for Bobby Kotick at the new company. So, as Sean Hunter Matt says, Eves has said that his family would buy up the majority stake of Ubisoft to avoid a corporate takeover, which is just shitty. Then people have to stop buying the games, quite honestly. But it's, I mean, honestly, like from what it seems like, the quality of the games has suffered anyway. Like Ubisoft has had quite a bit of trouble in the past year. And if you don't think these two things are tied together.
I've got a radio tower for you to climb then.
Yeah. So just a matter of time before Yves Guillemot hopefully is held accountable, but it just might be a long time. All right. Something we'll probably see first is the release of the PlayStation VR 2, of which we got a few more details this week, thanks to a new PlayStation blog entry that showed some of the user experience that will be happening with the PSVR 2. There's going to be a see-through camera with the system. I think we kind of knew that, but we got to see it in action, which is nice because, you know, you can see where is my dining room table, or, you know, wherever you're playing at, where is the boundary here? Where am I at in relation to the boundary? Where did I set down the controllers without having to take the whole thing off and all that? You know, and just making sure that, you know, like a baby didn't crawl through your play area. The see-through camera will be nice for that. There's actually, a card in the control center that lets you do that, but you can't record when you do that, which is interesting. So you can't actually just record what is happening on the see-through camera. I guess they don't want any more. What was that? Damn it. The Share Factory or whatever. What was that called on the early day? The Room, PlayStation Room, whatever that was that people did those. Yeah. Adult broadcasts. I don't know. Anyway, you can also
terrible though.
You can also customize the PlayStation VR 2 area. You use the controllers and the cameras to establish a custom play area. So that's kind of interesting. So if you have a couch that's shaped funny or what have you, you can kind of work around that, which I think is kind of interesting. And you can also get warnings when you're getting close to those things. So that's kind of neat. So
I don't know if it's like a thing, but I know like, with a lot of VR, obviously a lot of it that involves you moving around stuff. I don't know if they have an option with some of these, because like the play space that I have for like those VR things, it's not very big, especially in the kitchen. But there are some games that I think, like I would say, like maybe a No Man's Sky or something like that, that's less moving around. Like you're just moving with a controller and just using the headset for kind of like a full 360. Camera, I guess, if you will. I'm wondering if they have an option like I can just sit down and do that, and it's not going to like yell at me going, your play space is too small, like, because that would be ideal for a lot of games.
I would think so. Yeah, because you're right. There's games like that with like No Man's Sky where it's not about moving around and doing all that stuff. Like you're intended to sit on the couch and play, and you just are immersed. Tetris Effect would be another one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
You don't move around. It's, and the I think Tetris Effect was great in VR, but it also was certainly a fine game, not in VR either. So it was kind of nice that it was just enhanced by VR. I should point out, though, the other thing that the blog was showing is that you can now film yourself while you're playing, which a lot of people like to do with Beat Saber. It's not going to be that same like over the shoulder, because the camera that's looking at you is also going to be able to show you on the screen if you want to capture that sort of stuff. So you can actually capture yourself playing the game.
So, I thought it was Inside Out tracking. What camera is going to be looking at you?
That same one, isn't it?
How is a camera facing out from the headset looking at you?
No, there's a camera. I'm sorry. If you have a PS5 HD camera on the console, then it will film you.
Do they sell those?
I guess so. That was news to me, too.
I didn't know that they had a camera for the console.
No, they talked about it on the blog. Yeah. So. No release date for this yet. And we have no idea if it's going to be a this year thing, a next year thing, or what, because Sony still hasn't really. Yeah, I would think so. But I would say if we get to Labor Day and still don't know, then yeah.
I need me a new Rush of Blood game. I'll take the Quarry Rush of Blood. I mean, I understand that that's not really meant for a roller coaster, but like,
why not?
I need me a new one of those.
SSU100 Matt in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I really hope Sony makes it consumer price friendly. I don't think it will, especially since the Quest 2 just got a price increase. And yeah, that also in
that
VR
is
news.
So
that is
dumb.
Yeah. But it is going to be a tough pill to swallow if it's over $300. Yes, the price has to be right. Well, I think also the thing that the PSVR 2 faces is that still PlayStation 5s are not super easy to get. I mean, I know it's easier today than it was before, but it's not super easy. So there's people that they're going to be trying to talk into getting a PlayStation 5 and one of these. I don't know. This year might just feel a little early for that, but we'll see.
And it's too bad because, like, I think a lot of people, like, you'd be able to get a decent computer that can run VR. Like,
yeah.
Hell, the laptops we bought for our kids, like, weren't all that expensive like last year, and those can handle VR. And so I don't understand, like, with the price of computers, and especially with people replacing stuff now that graphics card prices are coming down in price as well, like, you would think that they would be on board with trying to lower the cost of that stuff. But once again, you know, it's like, yeah, that sucks about the Meta Quest. But there's other things out there that you can get that are just outside of that whole space. Well, and honestly, like, I prefer having those open marketplaces like Steam anyways.
Facebook has to charge $100 because they can't tie your games to your account anymore and keep stealing your privacy data and sell that to make the money. That's so why they have dumb. To up the price. So anyway.
So dumb.
All right. Let's go to a simpler time when we weren't playing VR. Let's get to it.
It's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what'd you pick for us this week, Dark Sakura?
I picked Timber.
Timber!
Which is, like, pretty much a staple of going to California Extreme. So Timber is a game that was manufactured by Bally Midway in 1984, and you have to earn points by chopping down trees and then log rolling and dodging bees by angry bears and stuff. Timber was designed by Steve Meyer, who also did Tapper. And so that's why they have very similar art styles.
Timber Tapper. Timber Tapper.
Anyway, the game, you play as a lumberjack, and it is a two-player, so you can do a versus/co-op-y kind of play, but you have to chop down a certain number of trees that pop up from the ground within a limited time. You have two joysticks. One joystick is to move around. The other one is actually the motion of your axe. So as you keep going, your time decreases and your quota increases, and then you have to, you know, avoid bees, beehives that are thrown by bears. You have to avoid getting hit by the trees as they fall or tripping over stuff. And you can sometimes catch these birds that fly out of the trees. And then every few levels, you have a way to get bonus points, and that's to try to stay standing on a floating log. The log will rotate, and you have to use your reflexes to stay on top of it. The first two times you're on that log, it's pretty big, but the log starts shrinking. And then the mini game will end if you fall off the log or you stay on top of it for the amount of time and you get all these bonus points. It is multiplayer. Like I said, you can play competitively or cooperatively. So you can earn bonus points by pushing trees onto your other, lumberjack. And then you get bonus points forever cuts down the most trees. It was a the cabinet for timber would either be built into a tapper or root beer tapper cabinet, since they were also made by Bally Midway. And then in 2004, in Midway's Arcade Adventures 2, the compilation disc for Xbox, PlayStation 2, and GameCube, it was included. Also part of LEGO Dimensions, accessed by using the arcade dock in the Once Upon a Time machine in the West. The current world record for this game is by Josh Lombay with a score of 9,767,550, which was done in 2011 from what it looks like. But yeah, that's your game.
I love this game. I don't know if I played it at California Extreme. Probably it's been forever since I've been in California Extreme though. But it was in that they shows up in those Midway collections. I remember there was one on Xbox that had this in it. Maybe 360 had it too. And I would play the crap out of it. I just think it's a neat game. And there is a strategy to it, because, you know, having the stumps and the trees that you can trip on, you have to really think about which way you're chopping trees down. So there's a little bit of strategy to it. Like you can just see in the video that we're watching on Twitch, the guy just fell over the stump there, and that can you know, set you back if you're not careful. So yeah, neat game.
There you go.
All right. SJ100 Matt in chat says, I've only seen and played this machine once, which was a fun spot. So yeah, I haven't seen an actual machine of this in a long, long time, but I'm sure the collector stuff is out there. So, all right, Timber, your classic game of the week. All right, we're going to travel around the industry and check out some other news pretty quick in a segment called Rapid Fire News. We will start with, I think, Loki.
Yep, so it's good news if you're looking for a Steam Deck, because Valve has just said that they are fulfilling Steam Deck orders faster than they were expecting. So according to Valve, the company is still able to produce the console, but now instead of the windows being, I think if you ordered now, it was previously like Q4 or later, they've actually brought that up to Q3. So right now, apparently, the window ranges from July to September. Everyone else will fall into Q4, October to December range, if you were in the queue. So basically moving it up 3 months if you have that on order already. So that's not bad. And then we talked about this a while ago, but it's finally happened. Roblox has had to remove the oof sound, their iconic sound that had been, I think, originally lifted from an old Tommy Tallarico music-produced game called Messiah. And you may remember there was this big announcement where Tommy was going to allow folks to actually keep the oof sound in the game for their projects if they paid a dollar or 100 Robux. That never happened. So something fell through in negotiations.
They don't have to raise money for the Amico anymore. So
in the case of what happened here is they just replaced it with a different sound effect now, which I don't understand why they didn't just do that to begin with. Cause like, how hard is it to say oof, kind of similar to what it was before? Just re-record your own sound. Like that literally is a day. That's like a half a day project right there. And they would have taken care of the whole thing.
Well, the good news about this is that maybe we'll never have to hear about that stupid sound again, because I am over it. I'm so over it. All right. Let's see. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
So there's a leak of the PlayStation Plus Essential lineup for August. And that is going to include Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. And Yakuza Like a Dragon and Little Nightmares. In fact, I think it's actually the whole Yakuza series, isn't it supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, I think that that's going to be fun for people who have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And also, apparently, there's a preview. Someone got a preview of Yakuza 8. And who knows?
I'm excited for that. Although this is where Bobby would say, I still need to finish Like a Dragon, which I'm not saying isn't
Maybe
true.
Maybe you do.
Maybe I do. But you know what? There's a lot of games I have to finish right now. Add it to the list. It's on the list. All right. Get me to stop playing No Man's Sky or Final Fantasy or one of the forever games. So then I'll have time for it. All right. You want to know a game that is taking a lot of time? Not for me. I was playing this for a little bit and then I stopped. But Alan is still playing Diablo 3. And he's playing a seasonal character. He got past Paragon 1100.
Yes.
Yeah, in the season. I'm like, dang, those numbers are... But I think it's just getting more and more absurd because there's going to come a point when Diablo 3 is no longer going to get content. And when Diablo 4 comes out. And we know Diablo 4 is coming out soon-ish, within the next year or for sure, so... All right. Let's see. I think I had one, too. I want to talk about, another passing from earlier this week. This has just not been a great week in the artistic world. But Kenichi Okuma, composer for Super Smash Brothers, passed away. That is specifically 2008's Super Smash Brothers Brawl. Kenichi Okuma was one of the many composers and arrangers for the game, composing for games like Gyromite, Pokemon Gym and Evolution from Red and Blue, Flat Zone 2. Those songs did come back in 3DS, Wii U, and also Smash Ultimate. So he passed away on July 22nd due to esophageal cancer at the age of 56, which is far too young. Should be noted that Sakurai also tweeted about it, saying that Okuma's legacy will live on in Smash 4 and Smash Ultimate. So that is, of course, a tragic loss, and just the art world not having a good week in that regard. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games coming out near you soon. How about the U.S., Loki?
So we have Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 on Xbox One, Xbox Series, Frogun on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. South of the Circle on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Apathy, Narugami, Gakuden, Nanafushiji on Nintendo Switch. Full Metal Alchemist Mobile on iOS and Android. Oh, God. we have another life simulation game. Guess Hiju, Mina de... Chocomaka Muradukuri on the Nintendo Switch. Chomaka Muradukuri.
Oh, because Makaimura is a Ghosts and Goblins series.
Yeah, I don't know if that's this. I mean...
I don't think so, no, because it's not from Capcom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's from Nippon Columbia, whatever that is. Hard West 2 on PC, Hindsight on PC, Nintendo Switch, and iOS, Kokoro Clover Season 1 on PC and Nintendo Switch, Sword and Fairy Together Forever on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, Massage Freaks on Nintendo Switch, that's a rhythm game. Picross X Pickbits versus Uzboros. I don't know what Uzboros is. That's on the Nintendo Switch, I think. And then Vanaris Tactics on PC. Bukura on PC, iOS, and Android. Gigabash on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. And last but not least, the 13th month on PC, PlayStation 4, and... Oh, I'm sorry, that was PC, iOS, and Android. I'm glad that Smarch is getting representation in game form now.
Busy week. Let's go to Japan and check out the releases over there. So on the Nintendo Switch this week, we have that same game that Loki was talking about from Nippon Columbia, Geshizu Mina de Chocomaka Muradukuri is coming out on the Switch, as well as Let's Get Fit in a regular and one that includes the sports strap edition. We also have coming out in Japan on the Switch, Apathy, Narugami, Gakuen, Nana Fushigi comes out in a regular and limited edition on the Switch as well. That's pretty much it for the Switch. Taking a look at the PlayStation 5, don't really have anything this week. We have Guilty Gear next week, but that's next week. So that's your Japanese releases. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
Ultra Age on the 5th for PlayStation and Switch. That's it.
All right. A few more stories for you, and then we'll get to the listener roundtable, get to your emails, participate at orangelaunchradio.com, and any phone calls we might have tonight in our green room over at vognetwork.com/discord. And I would encourage you to join the Discord server anyway and chat with us throughout the week on a variety of topics. Lots of great stories and viewpoints getting exchanged in the Orange Lounge Radio channel throughout the week. And of course, our In Memoriam channel has been going off way too much this week with everything that's been going on, but check that out over Discord. We promise we limit the use of everyone's spam. In fact, I don't think we actually use it at all, because I know how annoying that can be when you're in like 100 different Discord servers. So just get the chat that you want to get over on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. Okay, more news, starting with some drama. We love some drama, right, Loki?
Yeah, so VR chat is getting a controversial update very soon. They're going to be implementing, or they announced that they're in their next update, they're going to be implementing Epic Games' easy anti-cheat technology. And of course, this is going to crack down on any modified clients for the game. And whereas you may see this to help combat like people hacking in VR chat, it's also affecting folks that are using modified clients for non-nefarious reasons, like, for example, the VRC CC mod, which is a closed caption or adds closed captions to the movie world, so deaf and hard of hearing people can watch movies with their friends. That will no longer work anymore. There is an IK 2.0 update that they're saying that there's some user-made mods that were working with the client to help with body tracking. So they had May's IK 2.0 update that improved the body tracking. That won't work anymore. Yeah, so it's unfortunate to see all of this stuff that is being kind of affected by that.
Well, it's one of those things where they didn't think it through. You know, the company didn't do the adequate amount of research to see what mods were out there and at least try to address the issue of, you know, their game needs to be more accessible by maybe having some of these mods built into the game before they hit the button on something like this. It's just going to kill all the mods. So I think that's just very poor research being done by the company this feels like a reaction to me, like something was going on in VR chat that they didn't like. And so they used this as a kill switch that overextended it. Yeah. Got this and way more stuff than it needed to.
So they did put out a blog post basically saying addressing your feedback, in which they talked about their plans and, you know, the security update and stuff like that. But then they just doubled down on it and didn't really apologize for anything. They just said, you know, that, you know, it's just an update and it's, you know, addressing larger number of players. Or it says it's clear that the first wave of promise updates will be only thing. So they're going to do some other things to update the game to help with, you know, some of these folks that are, you know, need like the closed captioning or other features in there, other accessibility things. But I think that's going to be too late at that point.
Yeah, it should have been one of the first things to happen. And now, you know, if folks from this community decide to leave there, it's just going to cause, you know, their friends to leave. And
you know why they want you to use, you know why they want you to use the actual, the its own launcher, is because they're going to start. I don't know if they, well, because I don't play VR chat, but from what I hear, they were going to be either starting to or adding more of monetization to it, where they're going to sell things.
Of course.
I think that they wanted to secure that so that there's no way to hack that stuff in there. But yeah, just start of it kind of going down, unfortunately.
Gadats in our chat says, my partner's way into VR chat. It's effectively impossible for them to coordinate reports of issues with their intention to expand the game and mods. Apparently mods are known for causing the false reports. Well, and yeah, well,
that could be troublesome too. Yeah, I could see.
Yeah, for sure. What cost, right? Let's see. SG100 Matt says, I've heard mixed things about, talking about a movie that was made in VR chat. Apparently, there's a movie that is on HBO Max. And I was not aware of this. And, SG100 Matt says, I've heard mixed things about it. It was shot entirely in VR chat. I wonder if that won't be the first of several. Like, it's just this interesting, you know, why not? We've heard of, the Unreal Engine being made for things like animation and, you know, the Unreal Engine being used in movies. Why not have this come full circle where, you know, games are, I mean, because, you know, animation is animation, right? No matter how you do it. For some people, it's construction paper. Like if you're the early days of South Park, now we have VR chat. So it's just another way to make movies. It's kind of neat. So, all right, moving on. I had to let Dark Soccer talk about this because it's a game she talks a lot about, but I understand it's a good game.
It's a game I also play a lot of, so there is that too. And I actually had to use a different link because the one that was linked did not credit the original source, and that irked me to no end. DBD Leaks put out some information about this. Now, we already knew that there was going to be, in Dead by Daylight, a Project W, a new Resident Evil-themed chapter. And it's supposed to be out later this year, and it's going to have new survivors, new killer, but they've been leaked. I think the Prestige Cosmetics were actually leaked is what it was. So we have, and honestly, I'm going to do the killer last because I totally called this though for the first chapter.
Yeah. I also think at this point it's obvious if it's not Nemesis, it's who's left, you know?
Well, no, there's could, other,
yeah, it could have been, other, like,
could have been Birkin.
I would have loved to see Lady Dimitrescu. I know she's newer. I would have loved that, but anyway.
And she's also very minor.
And she'll be back. I get with the fan reception and the fact that voice actress won an award for the game. She'll be back. That's not going to be her last appearance.
But I'm saying right now, She was a minor character. She wouldn't be series-wise as important as who they decided on.
And Jason wasn't the killer in the first movie either, but anyway.
But Jason actually was the icon of it.
I know. I'm right. Moving on.
It would be like if they took like Corey Feldman's character from Friday the 13th and made him like the main person in like a game now. And it's Corey Feldman. Anyway, so we have from DBD Leaks, there is a picture of what the new perks, the new survivors, plural, and killer. So the first of the new survivors is Ada Wong in her lovely red dress outfit. The second is Rebecca Chambers. So maybe she'll play the piano as her perk.
That's surprising. I'm surprised it's her because I think the early leak said somebody else. Ada Wong was always there, but again, like how could it not be Ada Wong? Like that's
right.
Yeah, like that was missing.
She's fire.
Yeah.
Now the killer, the person that I claimed it would be for the last chapter. Is the one for this chapter, and it is Albert Wesker. Mm-hmm. And he's got a knife, and I'm pretty down for it. The new perks for Rebecca, it looks like it's going to be reassurance, better than new, and hyper focus. Because, you know, she was the team medic.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Ada, it's reactive healing, low profile. Basically, the icon is her taking off her high heels and walking barefoot. And then wiretap, which I'm going to guess is an Aura perk.
Mm.
And then for Wesker's killer perks, we have Terminus, Awakened Awareness, and Super Anatomy. And the Super Anatomy icon looks like he's vaulting. I wonder if he's going to be like Legion.
Yeah, it's hard to know because we don't know what the perks do. We just know what they're called. But
But we have the icons, though.
Yeah.
And just that one vaulting. I mean, so far, the only killer that has like a survivor style vault is Legion, and that requires being in frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And some killers can mess with vaults. Like, I think a Bamboozle from Clown is kind of the go to. Spirit. And, Spirit has an add-on that can mess with them too. But yeah.
And Chlorophobia. That does it too.
Yeah.
And not Chlorophobia. Yeah, Chlorophobia does it. And there's also that one Trickster one, the Hex.
Oh, no, that's a Blight, isn't it? Or is it?
No,
you're right.
It is Trickster.
You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a Hex.
It's Crowd Control.
Yeah.
Crowd Control. Because I knew it had to do with like his fandom stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of neat, instead of having someone that affects the vault, just to have someone who can just say screw it and vault, because people don't expect that. That's actually one of my favorite things about Legion, is going into frenzy and vaulting something and having someone go, oh shit.
So speaking of rumors, if we're going to talk about Dead by Daylight rumors, the Stranger Things rumors are picking up steam again. I don't know where this is coming from.
I can tell you where it came from.
Mm.
So there were some fake leaks of a half-rendered Vecna.
Right.
And a few people who I thought were more reputable posted these pictures and said, oh, this is without a doubt, etc., blah, 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 my butt. After that, one of the same people, by the way, said, no, this is fake. This is fake. But then we had in the current tome, there is the scene of like the two kids hiking, and they come across a bunny, and she tries to get the bunny to eat a carrot, and the bunny won't eat the carrot. So she bites the carrot, holds it out, and the bunny bites her. And then a swarm of those bunnies attack her and her friend, and they have Demogorgon mouths.
Ah.
And that's why for the new tome, like, some of the charms that came out are bunnies with blood on them.
Interesting.
Of course, you know what I keep thinking of that? It's like, run away! Run away! That rabbit's dynamite! We need a holy hand grenade right now.
I really do hope this. I would love to see more Stranger Things content and more. I love the idea of Joyce as a survivor. I don't know if they would do. A lot of people are saying Eddie would be a great one. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
So what you're saying is you want a Monty Python Dead by Daylight update. You know, we could have the Killer Bunny. We could have King Arthur, and then Sir Robin of Loxley. Robin the Brave. I'm sorry.
They're not quite so brave as Sir Lancelot.
That'd be a funny April Fool's, if nothing.
Who personally wet himself at the Battle of Baden Hill. And then the aptly named Sir not appearing in this game.
On a somewhat related note with all this, Behavior Entertainment, the company behind Dead by Daylight, and of course we know is making the Hooked on You dating sim, they're supposed to be having like an anniversary stream.
They're not making Hooked on You. Another company's making Hooked on You.
Oh, my bad. My bad. But they have like a 30th anniversary stream or so, which who knew that they'd been around that long.
I mentioned it last week.
Right, right. But this would be a time for them to announce things like that. Maybe. Who knows? So, all right, let's move on. More rumors, but now we let Dark Sakura talk about her game. Now we'll let you talk about yours, Loki. Rumors for you, the series you're into.
Hasn't been my game for a while now.
Fair.
It's fine. I will fully play that when the next one comes out, but like, I'm just not hyped about... It better not be one of those games as a service games without a single player. But anyways, Grand Theft Auto 6, obviously still something that's out there somewhere in development hell. I don't know. But apparently Bloomberg has a report talking about some of the details of the game and how they want to kind of change up, like, the protagonists and all that stuff. So they're going to have a playable female protagonist. They say that she'll be a Latina, and a part of, I guess, part of their pair is going to be like some sort of Bonnie and Clyde type story. I mean, that sounds kind of cool. And then, of course, they're saying that some of the things that are going to be different in this game versus other, like, Grand Theft Auto games is the whole sexualization of women in it. Obviously, you know, in the past, that's been something that they've done quite a bit, and it's just not necessarily something that's as appropriate anymore. So, and that also has to do with the fact that Rockstar is kind of moving away from that whole boys club thing into, you know, acting like, you know, professional people instead. So, it'll be interesting to see what comes of all this stuff. I mean, cool that they have a female lead. They've done it before in other Grand Theft Auto games. It's just not mainline stuff that they had that in. But yeah, I mean, that's fine as long as the story's good. I don't really care who the, you know, protagonists are.
Right.
It'd be cool if you could just go the Saints Row route and just have the protagonist be, you know, not really a gender. Just have it
whoever
be
you, want.
You want it to be. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I imagine for story purposes, that's why they're trying to kind of build it around a predetermined character, but I get
they don't really need to, because they've done this in Grand Theft Auto Online. Like, Grand Theft Auto Online, you play your own character, and it just works. Yeah. Now, I get it, like, with the voice acting and stuff like that, but, like, you can get around that with just, like, how Saints Row does it. So, I don't know. I think that would be the way I would do it, but they can do whatever they want.
You can, well, and Mass Effect had two voice actors play the main part, so you could, you know, have Jennifer Hale or Mark Meer be your voice, you know. So it's there's ways to do
it. It's a story that they want to tell. I'm cool with it, whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of people telling their own stories, for our last story tonight, let's talk a little bit about what happened with Nier, because, man, did folks have people convinced that there was a new secret area in Nier Automata? And I'll just kind of tell you at the end first, it turned out this whole thing was fake and was done by a very advanced sort of mod. A Redditor uploaded a video showing a new area in Nier Automata that pretty much nobody had ever seen before. It kind of led its way to like a church looking area, kind of like behind like a hidden door or something. So there was a hallway that goes to a church and so forth. And this caused the community to go nuts because, you know, the creators of this game have said a long time ago, everything has been found. But it would also not be unlike the creators of Nier to lie about that and have something secret there. So people were just, you know, going bonkers thinking, oh my gosh, is there this whole undiscovered thing we're just now finding? Well, again, as it turns out, nope, it was just a modder having a lot of fun. But boy, a lot of people bought it, but it was a very convincing mod, that's for sure. By the way, it's interesting because Yosuke Saito, who's one of the producers of the game, didn't confirm or deny it. And just said eternal mystery in a tweet. So like they were throwing gasoline on the fire by tweeting like that. But that's again, funny. That's how these devs are. And it's cool. So some folks in chat, Mike Def says all that Nier story was fascinating and hilarious. Yeah, that's why I bring it up now. It's just I thought it was just funny how much like not just the Reddit and the fans were buying into it, but how the developers were having fun with it, too.
Watch the video. It did look pretty neat.
Yeah, it was very convincing, wasn't it? It was. It looked really good. Fifth Dream in chat says, this is like when the first Pokemon Gen 2 leaks happened, and the group had a Twitch stream where they mocked up a ROM hack and pretended it was the actual game, but a lot of it wasn't fake, but it was in a different form, and they didn't disclose that. So it's just the lengths that folks will go to. So, yeah, pretty cool. And a reminder that that game is coming out on the Nintendo Switch pretty soon. That yeah, they're going to scale that down for the Nintendo Switch, so that should be interesting. But if you haven't played it yet, I still need to finish it. But I enjoyed, add it to the list, but I enjoyed what I did play of it. It's very, very, the music especially really caught my attention in that game. It's just so well scored. All right, let's get to the listener roundtable. So every week we invite you to give us a call over at vognetwork.com/discord, but we also welcome your emails over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And something I promised to get into in a recent episode was that we would do more tweets over at OLR if you have some tweets for us. So did you want to do tweets, Dark Sakura? I'm sorry, emails. You're also muted. It's hard mute on Discord. See the icon?
Yeah, I can see it.
Oh.
I don't do tweets.
I know. Sorry. You were texting me something and it caused my wires to cross. Yeah.
All right. Hello, LR. Just a few thoughts on last week's episode. The classic game of the week was Mushihime-sama, an excellent cave shoot-em-up that I have very much enjoyed. But here's a bit of information that wasn't part of the segment. The game was actually re-released on Nintendo Switch about a year ago. It's $20. It's really good if you like games of this type. You should totally go buy it. Loki lamented about how he can't get sim files for Stepmania X and even offered to pay for them. Unfortunately, though, even if these were available, it would be physically impossible to play them on a DDR cabinet because of the game's 5-panel layout.
Yeah, but they have a 4-panel mode, though, in the game. So, yes, it would be completely possible to do it.
Because DDR machines lack a center... Yeah, I know. I'm going to still read the email. Sure. Because DDR machines lack a center panel, the charts would all need to be redesigned to not use it. Also, the game does not separate charts into 4-panel, 5-panel, etc. like DDR used to. There are simply difficulty levels. So there is an actual reason why those don't exist. Sorry to be the bringer of bad news.
They have a no center mode that you can play because I played it in the arcade. It's just, you know, it'd be someone having to dump that. But yeah, I get it. It's not convenient.
Last but not least, I have heard a phrase during last week's show that truly horrified me simply because I believe it is thoroughly impossible to say 10 times fast ABBA album. Good luck. ABBA album isn't hard to say. Thanks again for the show, as always. Have a great week. Aaron YYR.
Maybe ABBA Abacus album, but they didn't have an album called Abacus. Because ABBA doesn't do Abacus. But it's just a note to ponder for future weeks. All right. Thank you for the email, YYR. Participate@orangelaungeradio.com if you want to send us an email. I will do some tweets. I haven't done tweets in a long time, but we have two tweets I want to get to tonight. Dark Tetsuya tweeted us, and I this was great because I checked this out. Today I learned Arcade Infinity was also a hotspot for Street Fighter 4. Yeah, it was huge for fighting games and not just music games at the time, but yeah. Found this mini doc on YouTube from one of our former listeners I happen to still be friends with on Facebook. Who is the former listener? Because I didn't catch who it was all grown up. But I did watch the doc. And the documentary was called A Home for the SoCal FGC, or Fighting Game Community, Inside Arcade Infinity. And there was a lot of like photos and videos. And oh, it fucking took me back. It took me back. And it got into the reasons why it closed. I didn't realize that the business didn't go belly up. The city was basically shutting them down because they didn't like all the kids hanging out there at 3 a.m. Because remember how that arcade was open late? It was open late. Like, I think their posted hours were 2 a.m., like a bar. But I'm that place went till like 3 or 4 a.m. So, oh, Dark Tetsuya said that was RYC3. I didn't know that. I remember that name from back in the day. Heck yeah. So check out the documentary. I thought it was cool, and it gives a little taste of what, because they do brush the music game thing a bit, because they're talking about in the documentary about like, yeah, while people were waiting to play Street Fighter 4, they had all of these music games, and a lot of people that played this also played these over here, and just talking about the crossover between the two. So yeah, I didn't realize, I mean, I probably knew it at the time, but didn't forget because admittedly, I'm not as embedded in the fighting game community. I'm not as good as those games. I appreciate them, but I don't follow them as closely. I did not realize Arcade Infinity was like the only place you could play Street Fighter 4 for a while. I didn't realize that.
The thing about selling import cars.
They brush on that a little bit in the documentary. I think it was how they were getting all their machines, was because of the inroads they made with the import car stuff. So that yeah, they that I, part they brush on a little bit.
I had actually been looking into getting a Skyline.
Hmm, that's cool.
So that's how I when I was looking for a seller, I came across Arcade Infinity and I was like, what?
That's funny. All right. Yeah. We do have a call waiting in the green room, so I want to go ahead and take this, and then we'll get to another tweet here in a moment. But first, let's pull in our listener from the green room. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Deft.
Hey, Deft. It's good to hear from you. What's up, buddy?
I want to ask you a question, especially regarding a game that recently came out. Uh-huh. Basically, my question is that has there been a game that you weren't interested at all? Like, you didn't even care for it until you saw someone play it. And then it's like, I want to play that.
Dead by Daylight.
yeah.
And also Mass Effect was like that for me, too.
Yeah, I feel like Twitch has been really instrumental in finding a lot of that stuff, don't you think? I mean, that's for me anyway, I could say that. I'm trying to think of a specific game though, like that. A game that I watched people play and it made me want to play it because I hadn't really seen it before. You know, it probably wasn't until I really watched, you know, since we just talked about it, probably when I really started watching people playing Nier Automata that really made me interested in it, because I kept writing it off because I had that original one on Xbox 360 that wasn't really Nier Replicant. They kind of changed it for this side and everything. And I was like, it wasn't that great. I don't know why people are really into that. And then when I kind of watched people play, I was like, oh, this looks like it might be really cool. So I think that would be maybe an answer for me. Or maybe even like if you want to go way back, maybe the first time I ever played DDR. I didn't know if it was something for me, but I watched other people playing it and I thought, this is so cool. But DDR at the time was such an extra machine to begin with. I mean, let's be real, with the flashing lights and the cheesy techno music and all that, like that machine was just extra to begin with. So watching the people, because I've told this story on the show before, I'm almost positive the first time I ever saw DDR, I was walking into a tournament at Milpitas Golfland. But that wasn't the first time I played DDR. It was just the first time I saw it because I couldn't get on the machine because it was surrounded by people and people doing stunts and things. But when I finally came across a machine in Las Vegas, we missed an entire night at the Rocky Horror Picture Show convention to stay up and play DDR instead. So that's my story with that. Pod Culture in chat says Halo for me. That's a good one. Because it was, I always wrote off Halo as shooty shooty bang bang, I'm not gonna be into it. But then when my friend had Halo at his wedding reception, I kind of had to try it, and I was like, oh, this is really fucking fun, because they had the local area networked Xboxes and we all played like in the same room, and it was a lot of fucking fun. So I was into it after that. I think that's a really good answer, is Halo. Loki, do you have one?
DDR.
Yeah, DDR as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Act Deft, you know, I love to turn the question back on the asker. What about you?
Oh, and this is why I'm calling right now. And it's Digimon Survive, actually.
Oh, I've been hearing a lot about this game this week. Tell me more.
Yeah, I've been watching a streamer I mod for play this weekend. And I have heard about the game, and it was, it's a tactical RPG, hard visual novel, and I wasn't, like, really interested in it, even though it's Digimon, and I do like Digimon. But after watching him play and seeing how the story develops, it's like, oh my god, I really want to play this game. Like, it's so, so good. And it's like, and again, it's like, I wasn't even like interested. It's like, I'll maybe play it if it comes to Game Pass or if I find it like cheap. And it's like, no, now I want a physical copy of it, because again, the story, it's basically mostly the story that has been like really, really good, because it's not, you think Digimon, you think, oh, it's a kid's game. It's a game for kids. It's nothing too serious,
just like Pokemon,
the title,
right? Pokemon
Survive
for kids.
Is like it lives up to its name. It survived. Mm. And it goes like really, really
hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
you don't have any idea.
I probably don't.
And for example, for Jamie, that I know she loves Digimon, at least the first season or Adventure. Uh-huh. The parallels between this game and that season are like really, really close. So okay. I think if you like the story from Digimon Adventure, the first season, you're gonna love this game.
The first two seasons were my favorite. Those are the cast that I care about.
You know, the parallels between the characters are really similar.
You know, it's cool. Really. Oh, go ahead, Jamie.
I just said cool.
Oh, it's really interesting to me how influential like the Twitch culture and YouTube culture, you know, just streaming and all that, really can play into. Like, there's a reason why companies will pay influencers and people with a lot of viewers. Sometimes maybe not even a lot of viewers. Like, I've been asked to do it in the past. I don't have that huge of an audience, but there's a reason why companies will maybe not. Like, I didn't get paid in that circumstance, but I got a free copy of the game, and I was like, all right, sure. But there's a reason why companies will dangle those carrots to try to get exposure, because it's when people watch others play it that they go, oh, maybe this is pretty cool. And even though I didn't explicitly say it, Dead by Daylight was absolutely one for me as well, because I watched Alan play it and play it and play it. And I was like, what is so fucking great about this game? And then I watched people play it on Twitch, and I was like, oh, you know, I watched like a lot of LGBT, you know, a lot of the LGBTQ community plays Dead by Daylight. And I watched some really relatable people playing the game, and I was like, oh, this is actually like, even though I don't like scary all the time and the heartbeat thing kind of, this actually looks like it could be a lot of fun. And I got into it. So yeah. And I keep saying Twitch, but the same thing's true about YouTube, you know, and the videos over there and so forth. So it's just, it's interesting how that whole sense of exposure is really important in this day and age for your game. Absolutely.
Which is curious, because nobody got a review copy of Digimon Survive. There were the marketing is serious, almost non-existent.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird, but the people are talking about it, so that's great.
Do you know another game that the publisher completely wrote off and then, you know, then just became a huge monster hit? Until Dawn.
Yeah.
You might remember was kind of written off by Sony in many ways. Like it was originally announced to the PS3, and it kind of disappeared and got released without a lot of fanfare. But then again, I would say in big part, thanks to streaming and that whole thing became huge. And now we have The Quarry. We have the Medal of Medan and the Dark Pictures Anthology, and all those games are all because of that. So it's interesting how that and God, probably things like Minecraft, you know, were huge because of streaming and so forth. You know, it's just interesting how much that has really affected things. Dark Tetsuya, answering your question, and I thought this was a clever answer. It wasn't a video game, but that does kind of sound like my start with Magic the Gathering. Everyone in my high school was getting into it, so I had to see what the fuss was all about. So that pure influence, absolutely. And pure influence isn't necessarily, you know, in that case, he's probably talking about the school lunchroom table. But, you know, thanks to technology, we've got a big table now and lots of people showing off what they're playing. So, but I love the question, Deft. Any other comments or thoughts for us tonight?
No, that will be all.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week, and may all your Pokemon be shiny.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, my friend. All right. Always good to hear from ACDEFT. Let's get to the other tweet I wanted to read while we do a last call for any calls tonight on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. We got another tweet from Blue Swim, who passed along, hey, saw this and immediately thought of you all. And it was a quote tweet for a sad day for Bomani Games. The last DDR kids cabinet is going to be removed from public access at this time, with a little Facebook post that says, for those in the area, the last and only public DDR kids machine is going away at the arcade that houses it at the end of August. Sayama Cat's Eye is in Saitama. It is in the kids play area, not the arcade area. So you need to pay to get into that part first, and then you can play it for free all you want. I had forgot there was a DDR kids machine, but then when I saw the screenshots, I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing. So, but you know, a little piece of history. Let's be honest though, as much as yes, the news is sad, let's also be impressed that here it is, the year 2022, and that machine was still standing, quite honestly. I think that's pretty incredible. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it. That was all the emails. That was all the calls. That was all the tweets. So thank you so much for that. If you have a tweet you want to send us in a future week, at OLR. Mike Defton Chat wanted to amend his call and just mention, oh, something I did forget to add about Digimon Survive. It is mostly a visual novel. The tactical game is like only 25% of the game. But the story, again, is really engaging, and your decisions have an impact on the story. Hey, just because it's a visual novel doesn't make it bad. Hello, Dream Daddy. Need I say more? All right. Hotful Boyfriend. Need I say more? All right.
Well, yeah. I mean, those are the fun things. I
enjoy
that.
Exactly. Wow. SG100 Matt says, NYC got rid of the last phone booths in Times Square, which led to young people to say, what's a phone booth? Well, you know, people... It's that thing you go into so you can make a private cell phone call, because that's how people only use them anymore, is to go into them to make a cell phone call. But, you know, people deface those things in many sorts of ways now, so I'm not surprised they're getting rid of them.
You want to know what relic, though, I still see at, like, certain Kaiser locations, like the hospitals and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
Payphones with a TTY. A teletypewriter.
Oh, yeah.
Which now you have phone relay services instead that that they do. Like, I had to actually break myself of my habits from TTY because I used to, you know, answer phone calls from my uncle sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, I think that is going to do it. Actually, I should check in for any last minute stories, Loki.
Nope, don't have any.
I figured it's actually all when all said and done, it was a little bit slower of a news week, but you know, they can't all be action packed. All right. That means it's time for us to get around to final thoughts and good night. I want to say thanks as always for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But we need more voices here to put them out on air. So please tell a friend, a nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, whatever. Go ahead and click that 5-star button, and that goes a long way as well. In fact, I don't think we've had a written review on iTunes in like 3 years. So if somebody wanted to be so kind as to write us a nice review, we wouldn't say no to that. So thank you. Appreciate all that. Let's go around and get folks' final thoughts. I will start, as usual, Dark Sakura, because I know she's going to do some streaming of her own in a minute.
I am going to be joined by Finora for some Debbie Delight. If you or anyone wants to join us, we would love to have you along.
I might pop in for a little bit. I have to see what Alan's got planned this evening, but right. I should be able to join for a little bit.
All right. Well, and also, all of you are awesome, and don't forget to share your awesomeness with the world.
All right. I'll try. All right. Take care, Dr. Ira. Yeah. Loki, we'll go to you. Your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I will try to get a new episode of my Minecraft series out this week.
Sounds good.
I'm kind of ahead of the game, so it's fine if I take it a little bit longer.
All right, my final thought, I will try to do some streaming of my own this week. So follow my personal channel if you're not already, at Rob Roberts. And also trying to brainstorm some things for our lovely network here at the Voice Geeks Network, and things to push our website forward, hopefully, a little bit. Because we haven't had a lot of network content in a while, but I'm brewing some ideas. So Mr. Blackwolf and I luckily have Dragon Con coming up to talk about them. So I hope to see folks at Dragon Con if you're in the area. And I understand times are still weird. The pandemic's not truly over, even though everyone seems to be over it. So I totally get people's hesitations. It's all good. You make the shot. You make the call that's best for you. But if you are interested in going to a big convention, I love Dragon Con in Atlanta area. This will be my 10th year in person, I believe, if I did my math right. I think 2012 was my first year, because that was the first year of VOG. But I can't count 2020, because we all know why I can't count 2020. So, but it's getting to the point I'm losing count of how many times I've been to Dragon Con. I love it so much. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there again Labor Day weekend, hopefully. All right. That's it. We'll see you in 7 days. It'll be August, believe it or not. I can't believe it. It's already going to be August. Pumpkin spice lattes will be here before you know it. Hang on. Wow. I know, but you know, it sucks, because unless they have a sugar-free pumpkin, those days are over for me, which is sad.
They do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have.
Hell yes. Let the pumpkining begin. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.